7, the catcher, number 23, Cooper Ford. Batting 8, Blake Satterfield, number 4, Brandon Rogers. Anthony 9, Blake Luffield. Number 54, Dominic Bucco. On the mound for Mahoning Valley, Duncan Davitt.
Last name, whose brush strikes all set for baseball here at the Mon between the visiting Mahoning Valley Scrappers and your West Virginia Black Bears here on the final night of the first half of the MLB Draft League campaign. As we take a look at the Black Bears defensive alignment once again as the rain begins to pour down here at the Mon. Thomas Gross on the mound, his battery mate Hunter May, your infield from left to right. Ben Greer, Blaze Brothers, Dante Stewart, and Garrick Anglin. The outfield, Merrick Schloop, Van Gupton Jr., and Sam Crail. Of course, the first three that Gross will face for the Mahoning Valley Scrappers, Alex Ulloa, Zach Storbakken, and Matt Archer. So we see a lot of fans running here towards the concourse to get out of the rain that is coming down pretty good here at the Mon. Of course, Thomas Gross continuing his warm-up, so it appears as if, at least for the time being, that we will continue to play. Of course, the bullpen mound has been covered up just because the fact that Black Bears don't, especially with the fact that you would ideally like to get four, possibly five innings out of Thomas Gross. Black Bears looking for the sweep of the Scrappers. Mahoning Valley looking to end their season on about as high of a note as they could ask for with a win here against the Black Bears.
Always interesting to see just another element that'll make a game a little bit more interesting. As you mentioned, through the rain, it seems to be dying down a little bit, but it will definitely most likely see more showers coming as this game progresses, I would assume. But again, the infielders are getting a little bit extra throws in, fielding it on the wet turf out there, and you'd assume for Thomas Gross getting his footing out there on the only natural part of the field is just as important. But either way, seems like both the pitcher and Ulloa are ready to go.
Absolutely. So Ulloa back into the box. Of course, Ulloa playing the last two nights here for the Scrappers, a native of Miami, Florida. The first pitch runs inside.
I think it actually caught him there on the arm. Yeah, it seems like it did there. He's taking his stuff off.
Drew a large reaction from the crowd. And now home plate umpire Dave Bender just wanting to check on Ulloa as it does, in fact, clip him on the back. So one pitch, one base runner for the Scrappers with an HBP.
Definitely not the way you want to start it off, but again, it's that rain. Gripping the ball, the way you handle it out there, it's going to be very interesting how Thomas Gross deals with that throughout this game.
We'll stand in. First pitch to Storbakken. Fastball on the outer half of the plate, taken for strike one. So we start to get an idea of Dave Bender's strike zone. A 1 pitch, wave and a miss there at a slider that was down and away, and Storbakken quickly behind, no balls and two strikes.
I like the command he has of that breaking ball, especially with a wet baseball out there. Good signs for the right-hander.
0-2 from Gross. Curveball down and away. Appeal out to Toby McKnight and ruling that Storbakken held up, so it's a ball and two strikes. Ulloa getting his lead off of first base. One, two from Gross, chopped to third, fielded by Greer. Ulloa took off, so the Black Bears will only have one play, and Garrick Anglin fields it cleanly on the first base side for out number one.
It seemed like Greer was going to charge to that ball, but wisely lets it come to him as, again, it skips a lot faster on the turf, especially wet turf, but gets it over to Anglin on the one hopper. Anglin does a good job of fielding it off the bounce, but doesn't get the play at second.
So now Matt Archer will stand in here for the Scrappers. Archer was at second base Thursday night and did not play last night. Product of Boca Raton, Florida. First pitch, fastball down and away, ball one. So now Ulloa in scoring position for Mahoning Valley. Of course, the opponent scoring first, certainly not phasing West Virginia. Fires the 1-0 fastball in for a strike, so we're even 1-1. No score here in the top of the first. And now Gross going to step off and see Ulloa back to second.
Just keeping him honest over there. Stewart keeps pump faking like he's going to go over there to try to tag him, but nothing yet.
1-1 from Gross. And the wet baseball getting past Hunter May. Another fastball moving Ulloa up to third. Believe that'll go down as a wild pitch. So the count now, two balls and a strike to Matt Archer, and the Scrappers with a runner 90 feet away.
You would think to see the infield kind of scooch in a little bit, but the right side of the infield, at least Dante Stewart and brothers are playing close, basically almost onto the outfield.
So the Black Bears infield is back and would concede the run on a ground ball. 2-1 to Archer, late to the fastball, sending it down the first baseline towards the concourse. Out of play, so two balls, two strikes to Matt Archer, looking to potentially drive in the game's first run. Gross set at the belt, 2-2, wave and a miss, and Hunter May quickly applying the tag before Archer can take off towards first base, and a big second out there for the Black Bears.
Just what the doctor ordered. Again, it's that breaking ball dropping there. Bounces into the glove of Hunter May. No chance for Matt Archer to get it. Two outs here for Thomas Gross.
So now Reed Chumley will stand in here for Mahoning Valley, looking to do what Matt Archer couldn't. As the first pitch to Chumley, fastball down and away, ball one. Chumley played Thursday night and was off last night as well, out of Houston Baptist University. 1-0 out to deep right field. Crail on his horse, back to the wall, and that one is gone. It's a two-run opposite field shot there for Reed Chumley, and the Scrappers lead 2-0 here in the top of the first.
And again, I mentioned it in the pregame show, this is the guy you want to see the production out of. Other than Ulloa, no one's really stepped up, and Reed Chumley does it a big way there, sending it opposite field. Crail thought he had a play on it. He gave it a jump out there, tried to rob it, but again, that ball just kept carrying over there and makes it its way onto the Black Bears bullpen. 2-0 here early for the Scrappers.
So now Jalen Jones will stand in. Jones at second base for the second time in as many nights. First pitch from Gross. Fastball outside for ball one. Jones out of Eastern Kentucky, native of McDonough, Georgia. 1-0 fastball outside. Now two balls and no strikes. Jones transferred to Eastern Kentucky after spending a year at Southwestern Illinois and then previously 2 years at Western Carolina, as the 2-0 count quickly becomes 3-0 with another fastball outside from Gross.
And again, Jalen Jones comes into this with a little bit of a struggle, 143 average on this season.
3-0 from Gross, a fastball, and again it's outside, so Jalen Jones will draw the four-pitch walk to now bring up Xavier Carter.
Obviously, Thomas Gross doesn't want to give up another big hit, and was being overly cautious there. Four-pitch walk extends this first inning a little bit longer for Thomas Gross.
San Diego State, a native of Sacramento, California. Jones getting his lead off of first, and Carter swings away, chops it foul towards the Black Bears dugout, so strike one to the Scrappers right fielder.
Carter had a lot of success in high school. It seemed it was nationally ranked as the number four first baseman for his class in 2019.
In fact, he was, Xavier Carter. Powerful bat as he fouls that 0-1 pitch back over the left side of the concourse, sections 102, 101. So quickly, no balls and two strikes here to Carter.
Looking for a little bit more success than his first night out. Went 0-for-4 in that one with a strikeout.
0-2 from Gross. In and out of the glove of Hunter May. On a pitch that was outside, allows Jones to move up to second. That one, believe it'll go down as a passed ball, as it nipped off the end of the glove of May. Now a ball and two strikes on Carter.
And we mentioned the feeling there. It's been the Black Bears catcher, Hunter May, that's had the most trouble so far, the second time allowing a ball to get by him onto the backstop.
So it is a confirmed pass ball against May, as the 1-2 fastball is chopped foul to the backstop. So count will stay right where it is at 1-2.
Early on, Gross has really attacked the outside part of the play for almost all of the Scrappers batters, hasn't really targeted the inside part of the strike zone thus far.
Gross set at the belt. Quick look down to second. Jones taking off for third. Swung on and missed as Gross drops in a beautiful curveball there on the outer half of the plate that Xavier Carter can't get a piece of. We're through half an inning here at the Mond. The Scrappers with two runs on the two-run shot to opposite field off the bat there of Reed Chumley. We'll come back here at Mond County Ballpark with the Black Bears coming to bat right here on the Black Bears Radio Network. Back for the bottom of the first, the Scrappers defensively, Duncan Davitt on the hill with Cooper Ford behind the plate. Your infield from left to right, Zach Storbakken, Alex Ulloa, Jalen Jones, and Reed Chumley at first. Outfield from left to right, respectively, Dominic Bucco, Brandon Rogers, Xavier Carter. Davitt will be facing off here against Van Gupton Jr., Sam Crail, and Blaze Brothers at the least, as those are 1, 2, and 3 in the West Virginia order here this evening. Van Gupton Jr. out of Raleigh, North Carolina, product of Ranger Community College, playing tonight for the first time since July 1st. He'll be the first one to see a pitch from Duncan Davitt as a fastball runs inside there. Gupton having to jump out of the way. The ball and no strikes.
Almost get back-to-back leadoff hit by pitches there. Would have hit Gupton in almost the exact same spot there, but quicker to react to it.
Davitt now getting the sign from Ford. 1-0. Drops a curveball in there on the inner half of the plate for strike one, so the count even to the Black Bear center fielder. Davitt utilizes a four-pitch mix. Fastball, the curveball, slider, and a changeup as he steps off of the rubber there to go through the signs one more time with Cooper Ford. 1-1 to Gupton. Appeal out to Toby McKnight, ruling that Gupton held up in time. Two balls and a strike.
And obviously when Gupton was a more regular starter, a good trait about him was he earned a lot of walks during that time. So
2-1, fastball taken on the outer half of the plate as Davitt gets himself level in the count once again. Long pause here from Davitt on the rubber, working from the windup. Now gets the sign from Ford. Kicks and deals on 2-2. Called strike three on the outer half of the plate. Van Gupton Jr. shaking his head as if to disagree, but it's one gone here for the Black Bears.
Ford was looking over to McKnight to see if he went again, but Dave Bender had no doubt about it, rung him up, and it was a convincing strike there and a convincing start here for Duncan Davitt.
Crail will stand in down to the two spot in the Black Bears lineup. Typically bats lead off, but Van Gupton taking that duty tonight as Crail waves and misses at a first pitch fastball for strike one.
Try to get one back the same way that Shumley got the two runs for the Scrappers there. Aggressive swing there by Crail, not being shy about it, but swings completely through it and gets nothing but air.
0-1 from Davitt. Change up on the outer half of the plate, missing down and away. A ball and a strike. There's Crail out of St. Leo University and a native of Sheridan, Indiana. Second year in the draft league for Crail. 1-1 to Crail. A curveball dropping in there for strike two on the outer half of the plate.
Very well executed curveball there. Started a little bit outside and then just bent right in and caught that outside part of the plate. Seems to be in complete control right now, Davitt.
Now Davitt gets the sign from Ford, the 1-2. A fastball high and away there. Count back even, 2-2 now.
Just got to wait from him there a little bit. Davitt shakes his head as he walks off the mound and comes back on. Still a favorable count for him, though.
Second baseman Jalen Jones on the outfield grass. 2-2 from Davitt. Crail getting a piece of it on a fastball that ran inside, so the count will stay right where it is at two balls and two strikes.
Almost ran in on him towards the handle there of his bat. Surprised it almost didn't get his hands, but was quick enough to get the bat to that, but foul regardless, still 2-2.
Crail looking to be a one-out base runner, and he takes on course on the left field side of the ballpark, so the count still 2-2.
The reason Crail usually is the leadoff batter for these Black Bears, never an easy out there.
2-2 from Davitt. Crail taking one down the right field line, but tailing foul onto the berm. As he was fouled second early on the pitch, and had he been able to straighten it out, it would have been very close to carrying over the fence down there to right field.
sounded really good right there off the initial contact there, but would have stayed in the home run distance.
2-2, and now Crail getting underneath of this one. A curveball in foul territory as Chumley making the grab for out number two.
And finally, David is able to win this matchup against Crail. Definitely made him work out there, but just got way too far under that one. And as we see on the monitor, a better view of the rain starting to pour now, a lot more than it did at the beginning. But we expect that to continue really throughout the duration of this game.
So now Blaze Brothers will stand in. Brothers out of Springdale, Arkansas. Product of Northeastern State. First pitch he sees from Davitt. A fastball up and away. Ball one.
Davitt will certainly remember Brothers, as in his last game, it was Brothers that hit one over the fence on Davitt in the fourth inning of that contest.
1-0 to Brothers. A slider missing down and away. Two balls and no strikes now to the Black Bears shortstop.
Probably going to get used to seeing David take his a lot longer time out there due to the rain and getting that hand as dry as possible before and getting the sign in, throwing out the next pitch.
Next pitch. Down below the knees there. Brothers swinging away, coming up empty. So Davitt working himself one pitch back into the count. Kick and deals does Davitt. A curveball that runs a bit too far inside. 3-1. Brothers still in the driver's seat here. Looking to be the first base runner for West Virginia.
Almost gets the end of the elbow there, Brothers, but breaks enough to still be a ball, but evades hitting Brothers there.
3-1 to Brothers. Wave and a miss. And a slider down and away. So that slider for Davitt has really been working here in the early goings of this first inning. Now Davitt going to step off of the rubber here. Payoff pitch to Brothers, and it's an off speed below the knees, so Blaze Brothers able to draw the two out walk and bring Hunter May to the plate.
Good job there by Brothers, not being fooled this time around. Third time is a charm for him. It's only the first two breaking balls that he saw, but knew something off was coming and earned himself a walk there early on in this one.
So Hunter May will come to the plate. May out of Slidell, Louisiana, in a native of Slidell, Louisiana, out of Alabama State, taking the first pitch on the inner half of the plate for strike one. May alternating between being a DH or the Black Bears catcher, depending upon the night. Brothers taking off for second, pitch outside, the throw down from Ford. Alex Ulloa backing it up, able to make the grab, but it goes down as a stolen base there for Blaze Brothers. Another one for the speedy shortstop.
And again, Blaze Brothers gets in there comfortably, but great heads-up play there by Ulloa to tail his infield. We knew that ball was sailed the moment he threw it, but Ulloa there to make sure that one doesn't get into the outfield and send Blaze Brothers to third even.
Brothers now in scoring position for Hunter May. 1-1, wave and a miss there at a curveball down and away from Davitt. It's now 1-2 on the Black Bears catcher.
25th stolen base by my count for Blaze Brothers on the season. Leads, one of the leaders of the MLB Draft League in that category.
Brothers now tied with Matthew Etzel of the Williamsport Crosscutters for first place in the draft league with stolen bases. Looking to work his way to the top if he can get on one more time here tonight, or even if he could potentially steal third if that's something that the Black Bears would have in order. 1-2 from Davitt. Change up running inside as the count evens, 2 balls and 2 strikes.
And Hunter May, with the absence of Ryan Hernandez tonight, is the most obvious power threat here. One of the leaders just on the Black Bears and in the league in home runs with 5.
Davitt set at the belt. Quick look down to Brothers at second. The 2-2, and that skips away from Cooper Ford. It'll be a wild pitch there against Duncan Davitt. Count full on May, and Brothers 90 feet away.
We saw 2 of them get away from May, and ironically enough, when May's up to bat, the pass ball by Ford there on the wild pitch that occurs. Good spot here for May to at least earn a walk and extend this inning a little bit longer.
Davitt, quick look down to third. The payoff pitch to May, and it's called strike 3 on the inner half of the plate. A perfect curveball there from Duncan Davitt, his second K of the inning, as we're through an inning of play here at the Mon. Mahoning Valley 2, West Virginia nothing, right here on the Black Bears Radio Network. Back for the top of the second, 7-8-9 coming to the plate for Mahoning Valley, as that will be Cooper Ford, Brandon Rogers, Dominic Bucco. Gross looking for a better inning here than what he dealt in the first pitch here to Ford. Chop foul back towards the Scrappers dugout. Early strike here for the Black Bears right-hander.
Cooper Ford making his second consecutive start here at catcher. Did not play in the first game. That would have been Adrian Salas, the young catcher on the Scrappers.
0-1 from Gross. Wave and a miss there at a slider down and away. And Ford now behind, no balls and 2 strikes.
Just an opportunity for Thomas Gross to really rebound off of just the one error, giving up that home run to Chumley.
0-2 pitch, hard grounder through the left side of the infield, a base hit there for Cooper Ford as the Scrappers once again with a leadoff base runner.
Great, almost perfect hit there by Cooper Ford. Greer got a good jump on it, as did Brothers, but again, when he gets hit perfectly between the shortstop and the third baseman, there's nothing you can do there, and again, the Scrappers have another base runner on.
So now Brandon Rogers will step in looking for the momentum to continue. First pitch to Rogers. Fastball down and away for ball one. Brandon Rogers committed to the University of Oklahoma for the fall semester. Big 12 school, potentially could play at Mon County Ballpark next spring. He's a member of the Sooners. 1-0 pitch, chop straight up. Going to be a tough play for Gross. Fields it on the over-the-shoulder type of grab and will underhand shovel that one to first as the Black Bears get one out in the process.
I had my doubts that Thomas Gross was going to be able to make that play, but he backpedaled very well and got the glove under it and kind of hesitated to throw it overhand or underhand, decides to go under, and Garrett Englund does a good job of getting low as Cooper Ford moves to second.
So another runner in scoring position here for Mahoning Valley. Dominic Bucko stepping to the plate out of Youngstown State University. First pitch, Bucko lining that one over the head of Stewart into right field. And the runner in Cooper Ford going to be held at third base. So it sets up runners at the corners with one out now for the top of the Scrappers lineup in Alex Ulloa.
Some more early pitch swinging, and it benefited the Scrappers up to this point. So hard, so hit so hard that it won't bounce into the path of Crail, and beneficial for the Black Bears that it did as it held up Cooper Ford over there at third.
Gross with a quick look down to Bucko at first. First pitch here to Ulloa. Curveball in the outer half of the plate for strike one. Would have to imagine it's only a matter of time before Bucko takes off for second, and Gross, thinking that might be a possibility, throws over to first. Englund not even going to try and apply a tag as Bucko was back in standing up. Now a long pause here from Gross. The 0-1 bending breaking ball missing the inner half of the plate as the count evens a ball and a strike.
Had a lot of drop on that one. The fans definitely thought it caught the inside top of the zone, but Bender thought otherwise.
1-1 as the runner in Bucko takes off for second. He's in there safely as Dante Stewart tried to secure the ball and had it squeeze out of his mitt.
Never an easy play there for Stewart, as routinely as sometimes it may seem on the wet turf out there, Stewart could not save to really cook in here with runners in score position and one out.
1-2 to Ulloa, swung on and missed. Another beautiful pitch there from Thomas Gross with his off speed. His third punch out of the day, and now Zach Storbakken will come to the plate.
Ulloa definitely shaking his head in disgust as he heads back. Completely fooled on that one, and a perfectly executed pitch there by Gross. Makes Ulloa look silly, and much needed second out here with runners on, with a runner on second and third.
So now Zach Storbakken out of Madison College. First pitch he sees here from Gross. Fastball in the inner half of the plate, taken for strike one. Gross now going through the signs with Hunter May, the 0-1. That changeup missing down and away to even the count, a ball and a strike. Good job there from May to keep it in front of him, as that would have potentially scored another run for Mahoning Valley.
And that time we saw that it was the footing a little bit of Gross that betrayed him there a little bit and could have been the reason for the couple wild pitches before, but something to keep an eye on there for not him but both pitchers.
1-1 from Gross, hit hard to third. Greer up with it, firing over to first. A nice pick there from Garrick Englund for the final out. So Thomas Gross able to walk the tightrope and keep the Scrappers off of the board here in the top of the second as we're through an inning and a half of play. Mahoning Valley 2, West Virginia 0, right here on the Black Bears Radio Network. Merrick Chalup, Garrick Anglin, and Dante Stewart, the first three to come to the plate here for West Virginia. Black Bears still searching for their first hit of the day, and Merrick Chalup certainly a candidate to deliver that out of North Greenville University. Davitt working from the windup, the first pitch. Fastball on the outer half of the plate taken for strike one.
Had a lot of success there in North Greenville. 352 games played there.
Davitt, the 0-1. Another fastball runs up and in this time on Chalup as the count evens. A ball and a strike. And you mentioned, Manny, the stat line there on Merrick Chalup at North Greenville. Had a very long season as they went on to win the Division II National Championship. And now the 1-1 curveball catches the inner half of the zone for strike two.
Good job by Davitt after not getting the call there on that inside fastball. Goes back to the curve inside as well and gets Bender to call that one a strike for the 1-2 count now.
Davitt getting the signs here from Ford and time called by home plate umpire Dave Bender. And now back behind the plate is Bender. The 1-2 from Davitt. Chalup chops that one foul down the third baseline, so the count will stay right where it is at a ball and two strikes.
Bit odd there, the time call, as Davitt didn't step off or really do anything after Bender called a timeout, but either way, fouled off by Troop, and we'll go again here at 1-2.
Ford relaying the signs currently to Davitt. Kicks and deals. Chalup swung on and missed there. Had a pitch down and away. Looked to be the slider from Davitt. One gone here in the bottom half of the inning.
And as we get the replay here, again, that pitch almost inch perfect there. Perfectly framed there in the inside lower part of the zone. And Davitt having more success here early on than out of the two pitchers.
So that'll bring up Garrick Anglin, native of St. Clair, Missouri, and a product of Wright State. First pitch here to Anglin. Fastball high and away taken for ball one. Anglin typically third baseman here for the Black Bears, but moving across the diamond here today with Ryan Hernandez getting the night off as Davitt delivers the 1-0 fastball down and away. Now two balls and no strike.
And you mentioned there, didn't play last night, got the night off last night. Ben Greer was preferred to him over there at third, but like you said, with Ryan Hernandez taking tonight off, Anglin moves over to first.
2-0 here. Anglin well underneath that one. Long fly ball out to left field. It's going to be fielded by Bucko cleanly for out number two.
Absolute moonshot there as they got a lot of the fans here excited about that one, but got the height on it, but not the home run distance there. Bucko was able to calmly plant himself under it, record the second out here, keep the Black Bears hitless though.
So now Dante Stewart will stand to the plate out of the Woodlands, Texas. Product of Northwestern State. Stewart, as you mentioned, Manny, looking for the Black Bears' first hit here tonight. First pitch to Stewart. Fastball just missing the outer half of the plate for ball one. Stewart has played primarily second base here with West Virginia, along with Xavier Pinales, who has flipped between second and short when he's been in the lineup. The 1-0 from Davitt. Off-speed waved at and missed there by Stewart. We're even 1-1.
Definitely fooled there. Had the look of a fastball there, but at the last second, it just dropped there below the knees, and Stewart committed to it fully, but no chance after that impressive drop there on that off-speed pitch.
Davitt set at the belt, kicks and deals. Fastball outside, ball two. Stewart there, reasonable take as the pitch never really came close to the zone. wind up in the pitch to Stewart, fouling it off to the screen of the backstop. So two strikes here with two outs in the second.
Definitely too close to not swinging it there, and Stewart does just that. Definitely just looking to protect here and get solid contact on the ball here, as definitely will still be slick from the wetness and the rain showers we got previously.
2-2 to Stewart. Fastball above the letters there, and the count runs full. Of course, the Black Bears only having the one base runner even tonight. That was the Blaze Brothers two-out walk last inning. Payoff pitch from Davitt. Off speed, missing above the letters there. Another slider. And again, a two-out walk allowed by Duncan Davitt puts Dante Stewart aboard for Cam Gurney.
Very risky, I guess you could say, for a lack of a better term there, not swinging at it, but the right decision at the end. He earns himself a walk here, and Davitt has to work a little bit longer to get that third out.
Of course, Gurney hit a triple to left center field last night, rattling it off of the left field wall at WVU Medicine Children's. Would love to have a similar at-bat here tonight as the first pitch is in there for strike one, a fastball at the letters.
Davitt has found himself in a lot of good counts thus far, seems to be in control of most of his pitches, and just needs to get that last one to retire the side here.
0-1 to Gurney. Missing high and away, count even 1-1. Gurney tonight's designated hitter was behind the plate last night for West Virginia. Getting a hot bat here in the late goings of the first half, so sticks around in the lineup as Stewart takes off for second, pitches in for a strike, and Cooper for the final out can score that one. 2-6 as Alex Ulloa applies the tag. We're through two innings of play here at the Mon. Scrappers 2, Black Bears 0. As the Julius Pepperoni Roll race begins here, we'll be sure to bring you the result when we come back.
Next up, it's Fat Favor Double Sunday. And finally, pepperoni and cheese patty. But first, let's get out to our on-field hostess, Bailey, and Cooper the finish line with today's fan, Bailey.
A WVU Medicine primary care provider is your first point of contact for improved well-being. WVU Medicine's primary care providers deliver top-quality care close to home for patients of all ages, from infants to seniors. They specialize in diagnosing, treating, and preventing a wide variety of conditions, and, if needed, can refer you to a WVU Medicine specialist for more advanced care. Visit wvumedicine.org/primary care.
Was it just incredible as a 16, 17-year-old? Said that, of course, he was open to Manchester United.
The official pepperoni roll of the Black Bears. Double stump day. Best a little bit of the lead this evening. Neck and neck in the back between Ann and Patty. Go around the turn. It looks like Patty's going to take a little bit of the lead here. And falling behind. But Ann's going to make his way. It's a close race. And pepperoni and cheese patty is your winner in tonight's race.
Pepperoni and cheese patty, your winner tonight here in the Julius Pepperoni Roll race, gives her 8 wins here on the season. As the heart of the Mahone, Reed Chumley and Jalen Jones facing Thomas Gross here in inning number 3 of work for the Black Bears right-hander. First pitch here to Archer, skied in the air. On the right side, Dante Stewart calling off Garrick Englund, brings it in. One pitch, one out here for Gross in the third.
I was going to say that Archer was not one of the few that hasn't seen success so far. Struck out in his first at-bat, but try to get that over with, but again, got way too much of the underside of the ball there and just popped it up easily for Stewart.
So now Reed Chumley will stand in. Of course, it was Chumley that put the scrappers on the board and has been the difference maker to this point. First pitch he sees from Gross. Fastball down and away for ball one. As Gross works quickly here, the 1-0, rolled over to third. Greer up with it. Drake over to first. And Reed Chumley is retired as Thomas Gross sends two up and two down.
Good play there by Greer, getting it off there, a couple hops there and firing it over there as Chumley was really cooking down the first baseline, but Anglin helping him out there, stretching out further. Two quick outs, sorry, Greer for Gross.
Jalen Jones standing in. Of course, Ben Greer has been busy over there at third base. Eight outs recorded by the Black Bears, three of them ground balls hit to Greer himself. As the first pitch to Jones, off speed, missing, down and away, ball one.
And we saw it in the last two games. It usually took about a couple innings for the Black Bears pitchers to kind of find a groove there, and thus far, Gross seems to be following that same trend.
As the 1-0 fastball, well outside there, two balls and no strikes now to Jalen Jones. Gross pause going through the signs with Gurney. Now the 2-0 pitch. Fastball below the knees on the inner half of the plate. Quickly 3-0 second baseman.
Surely taken all the way here, Jones.
Does just that, and it's a fastball on the outer half of the plate to get Gross one pitch back into the count. Working from the windup is Gross, the 3-1. Little flare out to right field. Crail running in, makes the grab, and Thomas Gross with a 3-up, 3-down inning here in the third. 2.5 gone here at the Mon. Scrappers 2, Black Bears 0 right here on the Black Bears Radio Network. We're back here for the bottom of the third. 8-9-1 coming to the plate. Cam Gurney, Ben Greer, and Van Gupton Jr. as Gurney will come to the plate once again with him at bat when Dante Stewart was thrown out. Gurney out of Scotland, Ontario. First pitch here from David. A fastball outside taken for ball one.
Of course, the young catcher relieving those catching duties to Hunter May tonight after being behind the plate last night.
little bit surprised, honestly, that we didn't see Mauricio Milan behind the plate tonight as Gurney takes the 1-0 fastball outside on the outer half of the plate. Count even 1-1. Of course, Jedrico typically likes to rotate between his three catchers. One one here from Davitt. Slider running down and in there on Gurney. Pitch well below the knees that Gurney held up on, so two balls and a strike.
Comes into this game with a 184 average, the young catcher.
And now Davitt dropping curveball in there for strike two. Beautiful pitch there from Duncan Davitt to get himself back into the count. Long pause now on the rubber. Set at the belt, the 2-2. Fastball up and in now. Runs the count full on the Black Bears DH.
Game last night, 2-4 with one of the 9 RBIs.
And the payoff pitch to Gurney. Fastball down and in as Cam Gurney draws the leadoff walk to bring Ben Greer to the plate.
Back-to-back walks there for Davitt after walking Stewart. Caught stealing at the end of the last inning, but Gurney does a good job there of earning another walk, and Black Bears still remain hitless, but have gotten the base runners, though.
So it's the third walk issued by Duncan Davitt. Still has yet to concede a hit. Ben Greer stepping to the plate out of San Jacinto North, native of Pearland, Texas. First pitch, curveball there from Davitt. Doesn't drop into the zone as it misses high and away for ball one. Gurney gets his lead off of first. 1-0 squirts through the legs there of Cooper Ford. Greer ushers Gurney up to second. Two balls and no strikes to Greer and a runner in scoring position.
And we mentioned previously, hitless are the Black Bears, and Ben Greer was hitless last night in the second game of this series, went 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts. Good opportunity for him, though, here with no outs, two-out count, and Gurney on second could cut into that 2-0 deficit.
That pitch there from Davitt going down as a pass ball as it got through the legs of Ford as Greer fouls the 2-0 pitch to the netting of the backstop. Two balls and a strike.
Couldn't squeeze it into the glove there, Ford, as it ricocheted off his glove, fouled back onto the netting behind home plate. 2-1 now.
Have it going through the signs with Ford. And now time called as Greer steps out of the box. Quick look down to second from Davitt. 2-1 check swing appeal out to Mitch Mayle, signaling that Greer held up in plenty of time as Greer's count improves to 3-1.
I think got the benefit of the doubt there. It was a very close call there, but Mitch Mayle over there signaled for a ball. 3-1 now.
Davitt set at the belt and deals. Fastball somehow catching the zone at the knees for strike two, much to the dismay of the Black Bears crowd here tonight.
And just definitely from our view up here on the monitor, seemed to just be under the knees there, but call the strike there by Bender. Now runs the count full.
Cooper Ford buying his pitcher a call there. Payoff pitch to Greer. Off speed runs down and in. A slider from Davitt. Back-to-back walks for the Black Bears. Puts runners at first and second, and the lineup turns over for Van Gupton Jr.
Clearly the best chance of putting at least one run up on the board for the Black Bears. Two base runners now, no outs. still hitless, though, funny enough, but Van Gupten has a chance to break that duck in the box score and possibly earn the first run here for the Black Bears.
Van Gupten Jr. coming to the plate the first time with runners on and in scoring position. First pitch, slider there from Davitt, taken for strike one. Of course, the third baseman from Mahoney Valley and Zach Storbakken is behind the bag. Be interested to see here if Van Gupten Jr. considers dropping down a bunt. Beat it out. 0-1 pitch. Fastball missing outside. Count even 1-1.
That's a great point there. Great point there, Drew. As again, you don't have to really worry about Gurney at second trying to steal it, so you'd think he'd be a lot more precautious for that bunt, but still stands behind the third base bag.
1-1 to Gupten. Backs out of the way of it as the curveball catches the inner half of the zone for strike two.
Has found more success here with the off-speed pitches. Here, Davitt, the fast one not really finding the zone here, but those breaking balls have kind of bailed him out so far. 1-2 now to Van Gupten.
1-2 to the Black Bears center fielder. Slider just missing the outer half of the plate as the count evens again. 2 balls and 2 strikes.
Good attempt there by Ford to frame it there. Almost nipped the outside top half of the zone, but 2-2 now. Van Gupten looking to protect here and not give up anything easy here.
Quick look down to second from Davitt. The 2-2 curveball shot foul by Van Gupten as he was well out in front of it. The count stays right where it is.
Glad to see he actually swung at that one just because I thought he was going to back away from it like he did a couple pitches ago and get rung up there, but reacted late to it. But either way, got contact on it. Hit off his leg, it seemed, or his shoe there. Still looking to protect here at 2-2.
Black Bears still looking for their first hit of the game. Scrappers ahead by 2 here in the bottom of the third. Davitt set at the belt, kicks and deals. Curveball runs inside there. Van Gupten Jr. jumping out of the way of it. Now the count full.
Did we see 3 consecutive walks here and possibly get the baseball who's waiting there on the on-deck circle?
Certainly a possibility here. Pressure on Davitt. The payoff pitch runs inside at the fastball. Loads the bases as Van Gupten Jr. trots down to first, and now pitching coach Ron Mahay out of the dugout to have a quick word with Duncan Davitt and Cooper Ford to try and sort out some of these issues, as it's been 3 consecutive walks allowed by Duncan Davitt. No activity in the Scrappers bullpen, so it's Davitt's game for the time being. He will face Sam Crail next.
And one of the more reliable hitters on this Black Bears lineup, not just tonight, but throughout the whole season, really, has almost harder to get a more perfect situation than Sam Crail faces now. Bases loaded, no outs after 3 consecutive walks. You got Davitt out there a little bit rattled, you could say, just to find that zone there and finds himself in the worst situation he has thus far in this game.
So Sam Crail will stand in. 303 hitter here at this point in the draft league. First pitch missing the outer half of the plate. Ball one.
Leads the Black Bears in hits in almost the completion of this first half of the season. There with 36.
Davitt continuing to labor here in the third. Bases loaded for the Black Bears. 1-0 Off speed, missing, down and away. Two balls and no strikes. Looked to be the changeup that time from the Scrappers right-hander.
Almost looking for deep. Bender kind of bail him out with those two pitches. Close around the zone, but Bender.
Pitch home to Crail. Fastball outside. Three balls and no strikes. Nowhere for Davitt to put Sam Crail as you saw Jalen Jones get shifted more to a natural second base position. Was playing up the middle in a way, but with the bases loaded, not necessarily any reason to hold on the runner at second in Ben Greer. 3-0 to Crail, taking all the way. A fastball on the outer half of the plate, and it draws a groan from the Black Bears crowd here tonight.
Rightly so, as that one seemed very almost identical to the first pitch he threw. Just outside or just inside from Bender's point of view, but from up here it could have been called either or. But 3-1 now extends this at-bat a little bit further to the benefit of Davitt here.
3-1 to Crail. He fouls it straight back. It deflects off of the roof and then drops down into section 103. So now a full count to Crail.
Saw that it was going to be a breaking ball pitch there and almost reacted on time there, but again, just a little late. Fouls it or sent it to the roof here in front of us, and now we got a full count here for Crail and Davitt in the most significant part of the Black Bears at bat.
This can certainly change the tides here of the contest. Payoff pitch to Crail. He fouls it straight back. Another slider there from Duncan Davitt as Crail not going to be an easy out to record if you are Duncan Davitt.
Sam Crail comes into this game with 19 RBIs to his name and 19 walks. So, again, nothing too unfamiliar with Sam Crail, who is not an easy out by any means.
Another 3-2, Crail, high fly ball, deep down the right field line. Looking up is Carter, it is gone! A grand slam for Sam Crail, a no-doubter down the right field line. One swing of the bat, West Virginia 4, Mahoning Valley 2.
Moments, ladies and gentlemen, the one time, the only hit that the Black Bears have recorded, of course, had to be a grand slam, and who other than Sam Crail, the old reliable Sam Crail, to send a no-doubter over the right field wall. Carter had no chance, and it just stood in his tracks and watched it fly onto the court over there. And again, just in a matter of seconds, the Black Bears find themselves up 4-2 now here in the third inning.
That was just the second home run that Crail has hit here in the draft league. The first at Mon County Ballpark this season. And now the first pitch to Blaze Brothers, a fastball on the outer half of the plate for strike one. One from Davitt, fastball above the zone, evens the count, a ball and a strike. Of course, that was just the second grand slam that the Black Bears have hit as members of the MLB Draft League. Of course, last year, Grant Hussey took one the opposite way over the wall and left. As the 1-1 to Brothers, changeup runs down and in. Now Brothers ahead, two balls and a strike.
That long ball by Crail was almost the same distance as the one we saw last night from Kyle Hess, who also hit a no-doubter. Black Bears have just been loving the long ball here in this series.
2-1 to Brothers. Chop foul down the third baseline.
And saying that, it really, if you look at the numbers, not really much of a surprise there, as the Scrappers do lead the league in the most home runs given up. So, again, it's those long balls that have just come back to bite the Scrappers after being seemingly in control of this game. Now find themselves trailing 4-2.
1-2 to Brothers. Again, chop foul, rather 2-2 as Brothers well out in front of it. And it was actually the third grand slam here for the Black Bears in the draft league. Grant Hussey's was the second. Tucker Mitchell hitting one last season as well. It was the first Grand Slam ever here at Mon County Ballpark off the bat of Mitchell. The 2-2 to Brothers fouled back and out of play.
And as bad as obviously giving up the Grand Slam was, and if you're going to take anything positive away for Duncan Dabbitt, is that he has a chance to reset now and try and forget about that and get these next three outs here to make this as less of a bad situation as it already is.
And now Brothers getting underneath this one. High fly ball out to left center field. That's playable, though, for Brandon Rogers, who makes the grab for out number one.
It's always hard to hit it there as easily as Ryan Hernandez made a team last night hitting it off the backboard, but that one just did not have enough power there, and Brandon Rogers finally records the first out here for the Scrappers as Hunter May comes up to bat.
So Hunter May will look to keep the offense going for the Black Bears. First pitch to him. Fastball below the knees. For ball one, do have some activity down in the Scrappers bullpen. Jacob Harsery. The 1-0 to May. Change up outside. Two balls and no strikes.
May doing a lot better job in this at bat. Struck out back in the first, but now seemingly playing a much more relaxed game, being up 4-2, 2-0 on the count.
And now the 2-0 to May, hit hard to the left side of the infield for a base hit. Hunter May getting the Black Bears another base hit. And now the question becomes, how much longer does Duncan Dabbitt remain in the ball game?
And Stilbrock in a little bit late to dive onto that ball, hit to him, try to make an athletic play there, but bounced right before his outstretched glove and over him into left field. Black Bears bats have certainly come alive here in the bottom of the third inning.
First pitch there to Merrick Schloop. Slider on the outer half of the plate for strike one.
Double play in play here.
Schloop fouls the 0-1 fastball to the screen of the backstop. Quickly behind 0-2.
Schloop, of course, the one international player that this Black Bears team has out of the Czech Republic.
O-2 to Schloop. Little flare into left center field for a base hit. That'll move Hunter May up a station to put runners at first and second with one out now. Garrick Anglin coming to the plate. Jacob Harsery can only get loose so quickly down in the left field bullpen. Now Cooper Ford making his way out to the mound to talk things over with his battery mate in Duncan Dabbitt.
Couldn't have placed it over the head of Ulloa better if he tried. Almost walked it over there. It seemed the way he swung that bat and how slow it was going, but just a little looper there gets the job done, and we have two runners on base for the Black Bears. Only one out now as Garrick Anglin comes up to bat.
Garrick Anglin looking to keep the party going. First pitch fastball on the outer half of the plate for strike one. Anglin, the eighth Black Bear to come to the plate here in the inning for West Virginia. Dabbitt, a quick look down to second, the 0-1, and Anglin fouls it back to the netting. Another fastball quickly behind, no balls and two strikes.
I know how exciting this must be for the entire Black Bears team, but he can't get overly antsy and try to swing at everything and keep the runs coming. As you find yourself 0-2 now, you definitely don't want to record an ugly out here, possibly a strikeout or even a double play.
0-2 swung on and missed there at a curveball outside. Big second out for Garrick Anglin. And now Dante Stewart will stand in with runners at first and second and two out.
And, of course, he does exactly that, strikes out there. But, again, gives at least the opportunity to Dante Stewart to come up to the play and do something with that runner, at least on second, try and drive him in.
So now Dante Stewart, possible last chance here for the Black Bears in the third. First pitch fastball above the letters, appeal out to Toby McKnight at first base and says Stewart went around.
Very surprised he said he went around. It was close, but I think he just got that barrel back enough for it to be called a ball. But Bender and Toby McKnight both agree it was a strike, 0-1.
0-1 there to Stewart. Curveball in the inner half of the plate taken for strike two.
And like you mentioned there, Drew, the ninth batter up the plate, the whole lineup has gotten a chance to take a swing here at Davitt here in the bottom of the third.
Davitt set at the belt. Oh, slider outside there from the Scrappers right-hander, a ball and two strikes to Stewart. Davitt, long pause on the rubber. Now the 1-2 Stewart, hard grounder through the left side. Jimmy Galuski going to wave home. Hunter May, here comes the throw to the plate. Ford applies the tag, and Hunter May is gunned down there at the plate for the final out of the inning. So Dante Stewart records a single to left field, and then Hunter May thrown out at the plate. Nice throw there from Dominic Bucco to get that one in on one hop to the plate. You score at 7-2. So we're through a third of the ball game. West Virginia 4, Mahoning Valley 2.
The WVU Cancer Institute offers innovative treatment options for benign and malignant liver tumors. Our comprehensive team of experts creates an individualized treatment plan combining cutting-edge medical, radiation, and surgical therapies tailored to your needs. Our board-certified, fellowship-trained oncologists offer industry-leading, minimally invasive techniques with smaller incisions, meaning less pain and a faster recovery. Visit wvumedicine.org/cancer.
We would like to correct the game for your chance to win. Just below the ballpark. Better information this day is presented by FBB Bank.
Top of the fourth here at the Mon. Black Bears ahead 4-2 now, courtesy of a grand slam off the bat of Sam Crail. And Thomas Gross back out there for the fourth inning, leading off for Mahoning Valley is Xavier Carter. First pitch fastball from Gross, missing outside for ball one. Now the 1-0 fastball able to catch the outer half of the plate. Gross almost throwing an identical pitch in the identical spot, but just a little bit more inside. As he continues to work rather quickly here. 1-1 waved at and missed. Another fastball that Carter just can't get a piece of. Now behind the ball and two strikes.
Again, in danger of recording his second strikeout of the game.
Carter skies the 1-2 pitch down the left field line, but foul. Late to it again there from Gross. So the count will stay right where it is at 1-2. Gross working from the right side of the rubber. The pitch home. That's chopped down the first base line. May outfields it. Throws over to first as May almost collides with Gross. And now having a little laugh about it there between the mound and home plate. But also Hunter May signaling, maybe next time let me get it.
Yeah, absolutely. And he had all of his momentum going forward. It would have been much tougher for Gross to grab that pivot and throw it over to Anglin. But again, like you mentioned, both of them having a laugh about it, and thankfully they recorded the out there on the easy.
First pitch, off speed, swung on and missed there by Cooper Ford. Both middle infielders for the Black Bears on the outfield grass. 0-1 fouled straight back. And fastball off the bat there of Ford, quickly behind, no balls and two strikes.
One of the three successful scrappers to record a hit here tonight. Of course, they trail 3-4 in that category, but need to get something going here.
0-2 to Ford, pop straight up out to shallow center field. Brothers slipping and then regaining his footing, but able to make the grab regardless for out number two.
You mentioned they lost his footing there. It seemed like that right foot kind of slid over to that to the right there, caught his balance though, lost the glasses, almost completed the entire play, but got the second out regardless.
Brandon Rogers will stand in out of Mount Carmel High School. First pitch to Rogers, a curveball swung on and missed.
Younger players on this team, the 18-year-old.
0-1 fastball missing down and away, 1-1.
Seems like that age has caught up to him here in the lead as he's only has it 0.89 ERA or average up to this point, excuse me.
As Gross drops in a 1-1 curveball there that Rogers was completely fooled by, 1-2. Gross working from the windup. The pitch home skipped in the dirt. So the count even, 2 balls and 2 strikes. Brandon Rogers, a native of Chicago, Illinois. Two to Rod Plate. Brandon Rogers knew it immediately as Gross froze him like a statue for the final out in the fourth. Second consecutive 3-up, 3-down inning for Thomas Gross as we're through 3.5, 4-2 Black Bears right here on the Black Bears Radio Network. Back for the bottom of the fourth, Cam Gurney, Ben Greer, Van Gepten come into the plate. New pitcher for the Mahoning Valley Scrappers. It's Jacob Harsery out of the Black Bears bullpen. So the day done after three innings for Duncan Davitt. Concedes four runs all earned on four hits, five walks, and four strikeouts as well for the Scrappers right-hander. First time we see Harsery here at the mound and pumps the first pitch fastball by Gurney for strike one.
Again, the product of Ashland University. Harsery looks to kind of take over this game after not the worst of starts from Davitt, but it's just that one mistake that he made.
Gurney taking an 0-2, rather 0-1 fastball on the outer half of the plate, making it 0-2. Now needing to protect is Gurney. Pitch home from Harsery, fouled off by Gurney. Another fastball. Keeps the count right where it is. Harsery getting the signs here from Ford, who sets up outside. The 0-2 now becomes 1-2 on a pitch into the right-handed batter's box.
Ignited that rally that the Black Bears had that ended with the Sam Crail Grand Slam.
1-2 to Gurney. Called strike three on the outer half of the plate as Harsery drops in. Change up on the outer half of the plate that just froze Gurney for out number one.
You don't see many more perfect fastballs like that, as Dave Bender had no doubt about bringing him up, and good decision there. Gets a quick first out here for Harsery out of the pen.
Now it'll bring up Ben Greer. He walked last inning. Of course, was one of four runs to come around on Crail's Grand Slam. Chops the first pitch back to the mound. Harsery nabbing it. Underhand tossing it to first for a quick second out.
Doing a little bit of everything. Harsery gets that one off the very tip of the bat of Ben Greer. Fields it cleanly and just easily flips it over to his first baseman in Chumley. Good. So far, so good here for the right-hander.
As it'll bring up the top of the order in Van Gepten Jr. for West Virginia. Gepten 0-for-1 with a walk. That also being last inning. First pitch to him. Fastball below the knees taken for ball one.
Gepten gets the duties here tonight at center field, usually occupied by Kenan Trankel.
The 1-0 pitch well down and away. Skipping to the backstop as Cooper Ford couldn't corral it. Now two balls and no strikes. Black Bears looking to avoid going down 1-2-3 here in the fourth. 2-0 from Harsery swung on and missed as the fastball was overpowering there to Vick.
Seemed to have some late inside movement there to run in on Gepten.
2-1 pitch right down the middle for strike two. Harsery working from the windup. 2-2 pitch outside, count running full. And for the first time here in the draft league season, the coach is changing positions out on the field as it's Levi Maxwell, I believe, over at third base, or and then over at first base is pitching coach JT Thomas. Payoff pitch there to Van Gepten Jr. He draws the two-out walk to keep the inning alive.
That's the specialty it seems for Gepten in the middle games he's played this season, but the walks just keep on coming here for the center fielder tonight. Extends this inning a little bit more, and now the man of the man of the night so far, Sam Crail. How does he follow up that grand slam here in the fourth?
Sam Crail step into the plate. First pitch to him. Fastball in the outer half of the plate for strike one. As a matter of fact, it's manager Jed Jerko over there coaching third base tonight, something you don't see all that often. We've seen it from other teams here in the MLB Draft League where the manager's out on one of the bases, but the Black Bears typically have their skipper in the dugout, and here this inning, Jed Jerko taking over in the third base box as Cooper Ford goes out to the mound to talk things over with Jacob Harsery. One pitch, Van Gupten taken off, pitch outside, and the tag applied there by Alex Ulloa on the back of Van Gupten. Second time Cooper, as we are through four innings of play, Harsery facing the minimum despite Gupten reaching on the walk. Still Black Bears 4, Scrappers 2 right here on the Black Bears Radio Network.
Joint replacement is one of the most successful surgeries ever done, as long as it's done right. Think about it like the alignment on your car. If your alignment is off, your tires wear out faster. Robotic-assisted joint replacement surgery at WVU Medicine ensures that the implants are in the exact spot they should be. If you have a joint problem in West Virginia, there's no reason to go anywhere else but WVU Medicine. For more information, visit wvumedicine.org/joint.
Thomas Gross is back out there for the start of the fifth inning. Dominic Bucco leading things off, followed by Alex Ulloa and Zach Storbakken. Of course, through four innings, Gross sitting at 55 pitches. 36 of those for strikes. First pitch outside.
One of the more experienced players on the team, Dominic Bucco, plays his ball at Youngstown State University.
Gross set on the rubber, the 1-0. Chopped to first, fielded by Anglin. He'll shovel it over to Gross, cover in the bag for a quick first out here in the fifth.
Thought Anglin would have enough time there to make the play himself, but good heads-up play there by Gross to go over to first base otherwise, and paid off well for them as Anglin flipped to the Gross for the first out.
We've seen Gross really settle in here since the third inning. First pitch to Ulloa, chopped to the dugout, to the backstop rather. No balls and a strike. Ulloa up for the third time, 0-1, was hit by a pitch. Came around to score on the two-run homer off the bat of Reed Chumley. 0-1 pitch. That's shot foul towards the Scrappers dugout. No balls and two strikes on Alex Ulloa.
Ulloa finding it a little bit more difficult here tonight, trying to get a hit. Has gone hitless so far. Has been one of the tougher outs for the Black Bears in this series.
And now Ulloa again getting a piece of the 0-2 pitch there from Thomas Gross to keep the count right where it is. Austin Becker delivering home plate umpire Dave Bender a fresh set of baseballs. as Gross drops in a curveball, fielded by Brothers deep in the hole, fires over to first. Englund digs it out of the dirt and beats Ulloa by a step as Blaze Brothers robs the scrapper shortstop of a base hit.
I surely thought that Ulloa was going to get them just because of the pace of that ball was going, but Brothers to Englund, but two hops in there. Englund again stretches out. Good stretch there, records a second out here.
So now Zach Storbakken will stand in. Pair of ground outs, both hit at Ben Greer. First pitch skied over the roof here at the Mon. No balls and a strike to Storbakken. Ball hit directly above us here in the broadcast booth. Two outs here in the fifth. A one pitch, beautiful slider there from Gross. Waved at and missed for strike two. And now Gross, one pitch away from getting out of the inning.
Certainly pitching with purpose here, Thomas Gross.
0-2 from him. Another slider down and away, taken by Storbakken for a ball outside. And the 0-2 swung on and missed. Rather, 1-2, another slider there from Gross, fooling Storbakken once again as Thomas Gross has his third consecutive three-up, three-down inning on the mound for West Virginia. Halfway home in the first half finale here in the MLB Draft League, Black Bears 4, Scrappers 2, right here from Mon County Ballpark. Back for the top of the fifth, rather bottom of the fifth, I should say. Jacob Harsery back out for Mahoning Valley. Sam Crail, Blaze Brothers, Hunter May leading off for West Virginia. Of course, Crail last time up, grand slam down the line and right. First pitch to him, a fastball in the outer half of the plate, taken for strike one.
Oftentimes for these relievers out of the pen, working with a deficit kind of eases those nerves. You don't feel as much pressure.
0-1 to Crail, off speed, down in the dirt. Count even, a ball and a strike. Harsery set, working from the windup. Pitch to Crail, slapped the opposite way, back towards the Scrappers dugout as he was late to the fastball. Now 1-2 on the Black Bears right fielder.
Very close to almost catching somebody in that Scrappers dugout. I'm not really sure who it was, but was blocked there by the barricade that they have there. 1-2 now to Crail.
Harsery getting the sign from Cooper Ford. 1-2. Feed down below the knees, back even, two balls, two strikes on Sam Crail.
Coach working low in the zone as it was a high in the zone pitch that Crail absolutely crushed over towards right field.
2-2 slider missing outside to Crail, so count running full.
Again, you don't want to give up a big hit here. If I were to guess here, I'd assume this would have to be an out-of-the-zone pitch here by Harshery.
Working from the windup, the 3-2 to Crail. Check swing from Crail, but holds up in plenty of time, and a fastball high and away. Sam Crail drawing the leadoff walk here in the bottom of the fifth.
And very hardly earned walk there by Sam Crail. Having a lot more success now, certainly finding his groove here in the fifth inning.
Blaze Brothers stepping to the plate, looking for his first hit of the ball game. 0-for-1 with a walk. First pitch to him, fastball in the inner half of the plate for strike one.
And I've noticed that it's not been the first couple pitches for the Scrappers, two pitchers that really got him into trouble. So trying to get that last pitch in there, that's where the mistakes have gone and a lot of walks have been given up.
0-1 to Brothers, fastball at 90, missing outside. Count even 1-1. Crail getting his lead off of first. Harshery working from the stretch. Set at the belt, kicks and deals. Fastball below the knees. Taken by Brothers, back ahead, two balls and a strike.
Brothers played two seasons at Cowley Community College in Kansas. Batted a fair into 2020.
Long pause here from Harshery. Delivering. Off speed, missing inside there. It looked to be a changeup. Three balls and a strike now to Brothers.
Almost caught that left hand of Brothers, able to get out of the way of it, but in danger of back-to-back walks here. We saw what that led to last time, so trying to avoid that at all costs out there is Harshery.
3-1 to Brothers. Comebacker off the leg of Harshery. He scampers off the mound, shovels it to first to retire Brothers. He can't believe it as Crail moves up to second.
Absolutely nailed. It seemed on the right calf of Harshery there. Does a good job of recovering and still flips it over to first. But again, to his surprise and really to mine, Brothers was in there safe. But obviously, Toby McKnight had the best view of it, called it safe, and now there's runners on first and second with no outs.
Good catches. Chumley bobbled the ball. Looked as if he held on to it at first, but not long enough for Toby McKnight's liking.
Getting a checkup out there on Harshery to see if he's good to go physically after getting hit fairly hard with that ground ball, but seems to be okay.
So now it's Crail at second, Brothers at first with nobody out, and that's a much better scenario here for Hunter May. First pitch to him, waving and missing, and a slider from Harshery for strike one. Hunter May with 5 home runs here this season, second on the team. 0-1 to May, another fastball from Harshery, missing down and in. Count even 1-1.
Again, doing everything he can, Harshery, to keep it out of harm's way of the most dangerous part of the lineup here for the Blackfish. But again, you don't want to walk the bases loaded again.
Quick look down to second, the 1-1. Check swing from May, but it doesn't matter as pitch catches the outer half of the zone regardless. 1-2 now on May.
Produces there a shrug of frustration from May. Thought it would have been called a ball, but finds himself 1-2 now.
Arcery working from the stretch. Pitch home. Change up inside. 2-2 now on the Black Bears catcher.
Arcery especially has tried to go to that dropping fastball or the off-speed pitch there low in the zone to get the Black Bears fishing for one, but a lot of discipline shown there by the Black Bears to not even attempt to swing at those.
2-2, waved at and missed by May on the fastball there from Harsery. Big out number one for the Scrappers, and Merrick Schloop will come to the plate.
And again, it was in a good location for Harner May to do something with it, but just simply missed and swung too far under it, and he'll be kicking himself about that one as he slowly walks back to his dugout. Will certainly be wanting that one back.
So now Schloop to the plate with a pair of runners on. Crail walked, Brothers singled. First pitch to Schloop, waved at and missed. Slider tailing away from the Czech Republic product for strike one. Harsery looked down to Crail at second, then delivers. Schloop skies the pitch on the right side of the infield and's making the grab for out number two.
Again, surprised he swung at that one because it seemed way too far inside. Almost ran in on the handle of the bat there, but produced the swing anyway, and never going to be any trouble for Jones there to record the second out.
So Garrick Anglin, the last chance here for West Virginia in the bottom of the fifth. Anglin 0-2 so far tonight. Long pause here from Harsery before delivering the first pitch. Misses above the letters to Anglin, ball one.
Could be the possible last inning for Harsery as there is some action over there in the Scrappers bullpen.
One out to Anglin, skips away from Ford. That'll allow Crail and Brothers to each move up a base. Now two in scoring position, 2-0 count to Anglin.
Second one for Ford that he lets go to the backstop and raises the stakes here a little bit more now. Both runners in scoring position, no strikes taken by Anglin so far. Good spot here for the first baseman.
Sean Goodwin loosening in the Mahoning Valley bullpen. Harsery working here in a little bit of a jam. 2-0 to Anglin, a fastball missing, down and away. Now three balls and no strikes, and Harsery in danger of walking the bases loaded.
Dante Stewart salivating at the chance to hit with the bases loaded, but has to get through. Harsery has to get through Anglin first.
And the 3-0 pitch misses the zone entirely, so Garrick Anglin able to draw the four-pitch walk. Loads the bases now for Dante Stewart.
Doing the second base duties. Can't get a chance without mentioning that he is related, the cousin to Jazz Chisholm, the Marlins second baseman.
Bases loaded, full of Black Bears here for Dante Stewart. First pitch swinging down to a knee. Was anticipating a fastball, and he got a changeup. No balls and a strike.
Right you are, Drew. And again, try to emulate what Sam Crail did back in the third inning. But again, almost swung out of his shoes there. Got nothing but air.
Crail at third, Brothers at second. And Anglin down at first is three-quarter swing there from Stewart. Comes up empty, so he's behind, no balls and two strikes.
Just seems overly antsy. Stewart there with two ugly swings there back-to-back. Now has to do whatever he can to protect here, not let this opportunity go to waste here.
This would be a crucial spot from the Black Bears to extend their advantage. Harster reset at the belt. Kicks and deals. Slider just missing the outer edge of the plate there. 1-2.
I think you got to go back to the off speed here if you're Harshery. He tried the fastball there to see if Stewart will oblige and get a reaction from him. Doesn't, but the off speeds have been working. Wouldn't be surprised if this is the pitch here.
1-2 to Stewart off the end of the barrel and backing out of play. So the count will stay right where it is. Going to get out of the jam. The 1-2 fastball up and away evens the count 2-2 on Stewart, who needs to protect but also be patient here at the same time.
And going off of that, it'll slowly shift over to the pressure being on Harshery to not only not walk in a run, but give the Blackhawks another out to play with and possibly do more with it.
And now Harshery going to fake a throw down to second as Brothers scampers back and dives in safely. Two balls, two strikes, two outs here in the fifth. Black Bears ahead by two. Pitch to Stewart, swung on and missed as Harshery delivers a slider for the final out of the inning, but not before West Virginia loads the bases and isn't unable to muster anything there. As we're through five innings of play here at the Mon. Black Bears 4, Scrappers 2 on the Black Bears Radio Network.
Don't let seizures control your life. Fight back with the WVU Epilepsy Center. In our state-of-the-art facilities, we help adults and children manage epilepsy and seizures and offer the very latest surgical treatments. And the WVU Epilepsy Center is a level 4 treatment center, helping people around the region and across the country take back control of their lives. Call 855-WVU-CARE or visit wvumedicine.org/RNI/epilepsy center.
Happy birthday to Jonathan Curry. We love you, K&A Square. And also, happy birthday, Aaron Wilkia. Top
of the sixth, Matt Archer, Reed Chumley, Jalen Jones, the heart of the order from Mahoning Valley, facing Thomas Gross here, set to take the ball for inning number six. As these past 2 days, Jed Jerko really turning to his starters a lot, trying to get as much out of them as humanly possible, with the Black Bears a little bit short on arms, as is everybody in the MLB Draft League. First pitch to Archer, fastball outside, ball one. Archer standing in out of Lynn University. Gross working quickly, 1-0. Another fastball missing down and away, two balls and no strikes. From the windup is Gross. Again, a fastball missing the zone, this time above the letters, and Archer well out in front here. Three balls and no strikes.
And going off of the point about Gross, there's no action yet in the Black Bears bullpen.
As the 3-0 pitch quickly misses outside. Four-pitch walk drawn by Matt Archer. Four straight fastballs from Thomas Gross, and to be quite honest, none of them remotely close to the zone.
And just goes back to that point, like you mentioned at the start of this app, of the previous at bat, that we didn't think he would go this far into the game, but obviously Jed Jerko knows his pitcher, knows what he can get at least out of it out of one more inning, so we'll see.
First pitch to Reed Shumlick. Gross dropping in a slider for Archer gets his lead off of first. Gross set at the belt. The 0-1 waved at and missed. Another off-speed there from Gross. Looked to be the curveball, but he's ahead of ball and no balls and two strikes.
Shumley, of course, responsible for the only runs here for the Scrappers all the way back in the first inning on that two RBI shot.
0-2, Shumley, a little drive into left field for a base hit. Back-to-back base runners conceded by Thomas Gross. It puts first and second with nobody out now for Jalen Jones.
Just gets Hunter May out there to give him a little talk, not fully to the mound, but just a little reassurance out there to his pitcher to not let this moment get a little bit too big for him, as it is starting to get there with two runners on, no outs.
Do have a right-hander just starting to get loose in the West Virginia bullpen as Jalen Jones steps to the plate. First pitch, fastball waved out and missed there by Jones for strike one.
As aggressive a swing as you'll see, Jalen Jones definitely tried to drive in all the runners in there, but again, good pitch location by Gross there to earn strike one.
Gross quick look down to second. 0-1, Jones swinging out of his shoes there at another fastball behind. No balls and two strikes as things stand now.
Shaking his head in disgust there. Fooled once, was an ugly swing. And then again, even possibly an even uglier swing there by Jones there. Won't be happy with those two. Has to dig himself out of this hole now.
Gross set at the belt. Kicks and deals on 0-2. Fastball called, strike three. Freezing Jalen Jones for an ever-important out number one.
Not the at-bat you'd want with two runners on and those two swings that he had early on, but Gross won't regret that last one. A big, big first out here for the right-hander.
Chase Lorg warming up down in the Black Bears bullpen. Xavier Carter at the plate. First pitch to him. Dribbled right back to the mound. Gross quickly off. Fires over to first. Both runners in. Orchard and Chumley advancing a station, but the Black Bears recording a second out in the process.
Weird spin on the ball there. It seemed like we going foul, and then kind of took the opposite spin back into the field of play. Hunter May completely lost on it, but luckily Gross was close enough to make the throw over to Anglin and at least get the second out with runners in scoring position now.
So Cooper Ford, the last chance here from Mahoning Valley. 2-1, two outs here in the top of the sixth. First pitch to Ford, down and away, ball one.
It'll be huge here for either the Scrappers to cut into this deficit or for the Blackbirds to touch yet another bullet here and get out of this unharmed.
1-0 from Gross. Come back to the mound, and Gross will get out of it unharmed, as you said, Manny, shoveling that one over to first. Second time in as many batters that Gross has had to come off the mound and make a play. Through 5.5 here at the Mon. Black Bears 4, Scrappers 2 on the Black Bears Radio Network.
Their goal is to provide
Sean Goodwin on for the bottom of the sixth, replacing Jacob Harsany out of the Scrappers bullpen. And Goodwin will be facing Cam Gurney, Ben Greer, and Jr. Third time the Black Bears have sent 8-9-1 to the plate in an inning. Goodwin, as a member of the Scrappers, a 13.5 ERA. Certainly looking for a strong outing here. First pitch, Gurney slapping one the opposite way, out to left field, playable for Bucko, and he makes the grab a few steps in front of the warning track for out number one.
So first pitch swinging there by Gurney. Again, no issue there by Bucko, who just has to travel a few steps to his right to make the out. And a good start here for Sean Kunitz. What you like to see out of the pen?
So Ben Greer will step to the plate. 0-for-1 night so far for Greer with the walk. Scored when he did walk. First pitch to him. Fastball down and away. Taking ball one.
Ben Greer up to this point. Ground out and a walk. Walk coming in the third inning.
Goodwin working from the windup. That fastball skips down and in, gets past Ford and carries to the backstop. Two balls and no strikes to Greer.
Almost nicks him there in the lower half of the body there. Bounces in there, but still almost catches him. But Greer quick enough to move out of the way.
The 2-0 pitch there to Greer, missing on the outer half of the plate. Greer in the driver's seat now. Three balls, no strikes. As the 3-0 count becomes a four-pitch walk to Greer, as Sean Goodwin just could not find the zone. It gets the Black Bears a one-out base runner for Van Gupten.
And even though he hasn't recorded an official hit there, Greer has put a recording that his second walk of the game and giving way to Van Gupten Jr., who also has two walks previously in his 2 out of 3 at-bats.
Van Gupten still looking for his first hit of the day. First pitch, fastball taken for strike one. Goodwin dotting the black on the outer half. Goodwin keeping tabs on Greer over at first. The throw back, and Greer diving in safely. Still no balls and a strike to Van Gupten Jr. out of Ranger Community College. A one pitch. Curveball dropping in there at 78 for strike two.
A lot more aggressive here towards Gupten than he was with Greer. Obviously, 0-2 is very different than the four-pitch walk, but still has that double play at stake here.
Long pause, then the 0-2 from Goodwin. Slider missing. Down and away, ball one.
Interestingly enough, that last walk was the ninth of this game, and ironically, like you mentioned, Drew, there was only one. We only saw one last night, and we got nine already.
As Goodwin throws over to first, keeping tabs on Greer, the ball gets away from Reed Chumley, so it'll allow Van Gupten to deal with the runner in scoring position as Ben Greer moves up to second. Score that E1.
Nothing but frustration there from Goodwin as we saw him react to Chumley not being able to scoop that one out of the dirt and self about that one. Now completely negates that double play and has to definitely at least face Sam Krill.
Goodwin looking down to Greer at second, who dances off. 1-2 to Van Gupten, skies it down the right field line. That'll carry onto the berm and keep the count right where it is. And to your point, Manny, I'm not exactly sure what Sean Goodwin is all that frustrated about, unless he's frustrated with himself for the throw over, because, I mean, you want your first baseman and Reed Chumley to make the play, but it's got to be a better throw from Goodwin. I mean, there's no questions about it.
I couldn't agree with you more, and again, it's just that frustration throughout the whole game. It's been a rough outing here for all the pitchers here from the Scrappers.
1-2 to Gupton, fouling it straight back. Spoils another pitch from the Scrappers right-hander and keeps the count right where it is.
That just sets up a good opportunity for Gupton to finally not only get his first hit, but add another insurance run here, make it 5-2 with the last three innings coming up after this.
Quick look down to second from Goodwin, gives him a second, drops a 1-2 curveball just above the letters there. Count even on Gupton now, 2-2. Two-two to Van Gupton, fastball up and in, and the counter run full. Sean Goodwin completely losing Van Gupton here, or at the very least one pitch away from completely losing him.
This is a very delicate spot here in the game. You can't lose your head over just the one errant throw you had before.
Payoff pitch runs up and in on Van Gupton Jr., so he draws his third walk of the ball game. If you can't get a hit, you might as well get a walk, and that's exactly what Van Gupton Jr.'s philosophy is, as points in the on-base percentage stat. As it brings up Sam Crail.
Different approach than we're used to from the typical Xavier Pinales and Sam Crail, who are used to those back-to-back hits from the 9-1 spot. It's been all walks here from tonight from Greer and Gupton occupying those spots in the lineup.
First pitch fastball from Goodwin. Called strike one by Dave Bender. And generous strike zone there in the at-bat for Bender, to say the least.
No doubt. And the Black Bears faithful are definitely letting him hear about it.
A one fastball there to Crail, missing well above the zone. Count even 1-1.
We see a third time in this game that the Scrappers load the bases on walks.
Certainly be something else, to say the least. 1-1 curveball dropped in for a strike at the letters to Crail. It's not very often you see the bases loaded on walks multiple times in the same inning. And if Crail can draw the free pass, it would be back-to-back innings that the Scrappers have conceded it. Three of the last four. Goodwin set at the belt. Kicks and deals the 1-2. Pitch down and in there. Another curveball. Crail taking smartly. Back even 2-2.
Again, you're definitely looking to protect here, but if you get a pitch that you like, if you're Sam Crail, you already send one over the right field wall. Sean Goodwin definitely seems to be losing his calm here a little bit.
Crail fouls the 2-2 fastball into the concourse, keeps the count right where it is. A little bit late to it was Crail, but got enough of the wood on it to keep the at-bat going by at least one pitch. Another 2-2 to Crail. High fly ball down the line and right. Carter to the track, and he makes the grab just a step in front of the wall as Ben Greer tags up and advances to the third. And Manny, I thought he did it again.
I really thought from, not just from your reaction, but the sound off the bat was very similar to the one back in the third inning. And I'm sure Carter thought that that one was definitely had the same fate, but he tracked it all the way to the warning track, and good for him that he did, because a big second out there for the Scrappers. Definitely a big bullet miss there from Sean Goodwin.
Goodwin thanking his lucky stars as Blaze Brothers comes to the plate with runners at the corners. Two outs here in the sixth. First pitch to Brothers, fastball below the knees, ball and no strikes.
What a way to close out the series. Would it have been for Sam Crail, grand slam, and then a three-run shot to all but end this game.
Greer dancing down the third baseline, just messing with Sean Goodwin as Van Gupten takes off for second. Pitch outside to Brothers, and Van Gupten into second base safely. Gives himself a stolen base. Two balls and no strikes to Brothers.
An amazing show of, you could say, teamwork there. Greer drawing all the attention to him, and then Van Gupten's the one that actually steals and puts runners in scoring positions here for the Black Bears.
Van Gupten's second stolen base as a Black Bear. 2-0 to Brothers. Chop towards the Scrappers dugout and foul. Two balls and a strike.
Brothers, another one that hasn't recorded the typical hit in this game. Recently, an infield single back in the just in the last inning in the fifth.
Greer again dancing down the line. 2-1 to Brothers. Outer half of the plate for strike two, and we're back even.
A pretty generous strike zone there by Bender, as again we'll definitely get some groans from the fans that we have here.
Quick stoppage in play as a ball snuck onto the field from the Black Bears bullpen. Xavier Carter had to go retrieve it. Goodwin working from the stretch. Long pause on the rubber. 2-2 to Brothers, wave and a miss at a slider on the outer half of the plate as Sean Goodwin gets himself out of the jam he put himself into. Two-thirds of the way through the series finale and first half season finale right here on the Black Bears Radio Network. West Virginia 4, Mahoning Valley 2. Don't go anywhere with the top of the seventh coming up next. Back for the top of the seventh, we'll have a Black Bears debut here for Chase Lorg. Joined the team a little bit early. He will be with them for the second half of the season. Lorg standing in, 6'1", 220 pounds out of University of Central Oklahoma, a native of Collinsville, Oklahoma, And Jed Jerko will be turning to him here in the seventh inning to face Brandon Rogers, Dominic Bucco, and Alex Ulloa. It's been the long ball that really hurt Lorg this past season at University of Central Oklahoma, conceding 11 home runs in 49 innings of work. We'll face the Oklahoma commit here in Brandon Rogers. Lorick now getting his signs here from Hunter May. First pitch, fastball waved at and missed for strike one.
Definitely not afraid to go at these hitters right off the bat. A high fastball there. No chance for Rogers to catch up to that one.
Lorick set the up. Chase Lorick quickly ahead. No balls and two strikes.
Similar location, but very deceptive there, taking off a lot of the speed there, and again, getting Rogers to bite at the bait. Good start here, 0-2 now.
Getting the sign from May as Lorg. The 0-2 skips a curveball there in the dirt. Ball and two strikes now to Rogers.
Notice that he skipped that same curveball in there to May a couple times while he was warming up. Might not have the best of control of it right now.
Long pause from Lorg, the 1-2, and again skips the curveball in 2-2. You can see him messing with his fingers out there on the rubber, trying to subconsciously sort out the grip.
Got to go back to that fastball. If you're Lorg here, it's been working pretty well so far.
And now time called by Roger, so he will step out of the batter's box and make his quick adjustments. Right back in, though. 2-2, wave and a miss there. Change up from Lorg, so how about that? One batter facing your debut and one strikeout to accompany it.
And that's the experience that a guy like Lorg can bring you out of the pen, a senior out of Central Oklahoma does pay off there with that experience. One outing, or his first outing, gets a strikeout out of it.
So now Dominic Bucco will step to the plate. First pitch to Bucco. Runs inside. Gets a piece of gurney. Ruled a strike there as it came off the bat of Bucco. And rather, it's Hunter May behind the plate. Cam Gurney, tonight's designated hitter. May certainly feeling that one. Check it on the replay here. Off the knob of the bat and straight down. And Hunter May going to be feeling that one. For
last place you want to get hit there. But again, Bucco very perplexed at that thought. You know, almost ran in on his hands.
A one fastball from Lorg missing outside to even the count. A ball and a strike.
Almost the entirety of the infield is almost onto the outfield here.
1-1 curveball skipped in there to May. Two balls and a strike, and it's a good point, Manny. Dante Stewart on the outfield grass. Garrick Anglin just a step on the infield. Ben Greer over at third, a step on the infield. And Blaze Brothers, before having to go retrieve the baseball, on the outfield grass as well. Anticipating Bucco to hit one hard. Two-one fastball taken the opposite way, down the line and left, but foul. So Dominic Bucco standing in with two balls and two strikes to his name.
Did exactly what you said there, Drew, but unfortunate for him, it just tailed too far to the left. Now 2-2, got to protect here, but again, if you're Lorg, all the pitches seem to be on point except that curveball that just keeps skipping in there.
And now the 2-2 changeup chop to right side, carrying towards the Black Bears dugout. So the count will stay right where it is. Two balls, two strikes.
Bucko had a single back in the second inning, stole base also in that inning, but has only been up once since then, and he grounded out.
2-2 to Bucko, grounded to short, Brothers charging it. Quick transfer, fire over to first, and it beats Bucko by a step. He thought for sure he had beat it out, but it's a second out here in the seventh.
Letting Toby McKnight definitely hear him. He was safe, and he thought he got in there, but I think McKnight made the right call there, and I think Angling's stretch and his well-timed scoop there just got the blazing Bucko there and gets two outs here for Lorig.
Of course, Chase Lorig settling in here nicely with two up, two down, and now the lineup will turn over for Alex Ulloa, who has been a tough out all series. First pitch to Ulloa. Change up below the knees, ball one. Ulloa so far tonight, 0 for 2, was hit by a pitch. As the 1-0 fastball there from Lorig missing below the knees. Two balls and no strikes to Ulloa. Long pause from Lorig, the 2-0. Ulloa skying that one, backing out of play over the Black Bears dugout. That'll drop down near section 101.
This will definitely be the test here for Chase Lorig out of the pen, facing arguably the Scrappers' best hitter there at the one spot of the lineup. And like you mentioned, Drew, been a tough out all series, but has struggled a little bit more than usual here tonight.
2-1 from Lorig, waved at and missed, blew the fastball in there for strike two. And as a matter of fact, it's actually Alex Araúz pinch hitting for Alex Ulloa. Two balls, two strikes here to Araúz. Fresh off the bench. Curveball down and away, ball three. So now Scrappers and manager Homer Bush will have some defensive adjustments that will need made in the next half inning. Payoff pitch from Lorig, and Araúz takes it the opposite way down the line and right section of the concourse.
Araúz, of course, one of the players, Scrappers players that has struggled the most in this, not just series, but this whole season. Came in with a straight 100 average.
3-2 to Araúz. High fly ball down the line and left. Gives it a look, does Chloop. And that ball is gone. Alex Araúz with a two-out pinch hit home run. And that's exactly what has bit Chase Lorig multiple times in his collegiate career. And the Scrappers cut their deficit in half.
That's the ever-famous commentator jinx, right? As soon as I say he's been struggling, sends one long, a much-needed home run, not just for Araúz, but for the Scrappers' offense that's just gone mute for a majority of this game. But again, we find ourselves in a close one-run game here at the last game of the first half of the season.
So now Zach Storbakken will stand in. First pitch waved at and missed there. Change up from Lorig. Of course, I had mentioned last at bat that Homer Bush would need some defensive adjustments. Doesn't necessarily need to, as the free entry substitution rule in place here in the draft league is. Pitch catches the outer half of the zone there to Storbakken. Lorig set at the belt. Pitch home, waved at and missed. And Storbakken down on strikes as Lorig responds beautifully there in the seventh. Stretch time here at the Mon. Black Bears 4, Scrappers 3 right here on the Black Bears Radio Network. Back for the bottom of the seventh. Hunter May, Merrick Schloop, Garrick Englund coming to the plate against Frank Ellisalt in relief of Sean Goodwin, who goes an inning out of Mahoning Valley's bullpen. Concedes two walks, strikes out one in the process. As the Scrappers bullpen has kept these Black Bears in check. And now we see Frank Ellisalt out of Florida Southwestern, committed to Nova Southeastern for the fall semester. First pitch from Ellisalt. Curveball taken for strike one.
Establishing that inside presence right off the bat. Hits him with the curveball, breaking back towards the zone.
And Hunter May with the fly ball on 0-1 out to left field. Playable for Bucko and makes the grab in the process.
Slightly overran it to his right a little bit at the comeback onto it, running left. But, again, had the home run height as we've seen with a couple Black Bears batters, but didn't have the distance there as Bucko makes the easy routine flyout.
So some changes here in the Scrappers infield. First pitch there to Schloop. Off speed inside for ball one. Over at first base is Alex Araúz. Zach Storbakken slides from third to second. Jones over to shortstop. And then at third base is Reed Chumley. 1-0 to Schloop. Waved and missed there at a changeup that just tailed towards the bottom of the zone and then some. Count even a ball and a strike. Schloop waving and missing there at a 1-1 change ball. Change up, I should say. Now trailing a ball and two strikes. Ellisalt continuing to work out of the windup. Schloop popping that one back and out of play over the Black Bears dugout on the first base side. Keep the count right where it is at 1-2.
And of course, being that this is the last game, you always good to see a manager get as many players out there who might not have had the most success in this life. Everybody involved here before the MLB draft.
1-2 from Ellisalt, swung on and missed there by Chloop. Second time Chloop has gone down on strikes here tonight and brings up Garrick Anglin with two outs in the seventh.
Quick work so far for Ellisalt that, again, has been very aggressive out of the pen like we saw Goodwin and Arcery beat. And it's worked dividends for the Scrappers that still have maintained this four-run hole that they got themselves in before.
First pitch fastball out of the hand of Ellisalt, taken by Anglin for strike one. Right-hander throwing for the Black Bears. Get you a name here in just a second. 0-1 from Ellisalt. Off-speed missing down and in to even the count. A ball and a strike. Ellisalt working from the windup. The 1-1. Fastball in there. Two balls and a strike. Just missing down and in again.
Does like that inside part of the plate. Doesn't get the calls there from Bender on back-to-back pitches, but still not in the worst of spots. 2-1 here.
2-1 to Anglin. Off-speed runs inside. Three balls and a strike now, and once again, the Scrappers in jeopardy of conceding a two-out walk, something we've seen all night from them here in this series finale. As Anglin hits a comebacker up the middle for a base hit past the outstretched glove of Ellisalt. Garrick Anglin says, I'll do you one better. Delivers a two-out single instead of a two-out walk.
And it's just that, just too hard and too high of a bounce there for Ellisalt to field. They tried to barehand it, but never had a chance at it, and neither did Jones and Starbuck in there in the middle of the field, and this inning extends a little bit longer than Ellisalt seemed to be going.
So now Dante Stewart will come to the plate. First pitch, Stewart out of the hand of Ellisalt. Stewart again trying to swing out of his shoes.
Does have a hit in this one. Back in the third, managed to single.
Anglin dancing, then taking off. Pitch outside, throw down from forward, not in time, as Garrick Anglin in there with the stolen base. Count to Stewart, even a ball and a strike.
Not the speedster that other Black Bears may be known for, but it's the last game of the first half. Why not try your luck there? And it pays off for him. He's in there for with a stolen base.
And now Cooper Ford out to the mound to have a quick word with Frank Ellisalt. Believe it is Ryan Velasquez loosening down there in the Black Bears bullpen. A ball and a strike here to Stewart. Pitch home from Ellisalt. Looping curveball in for strike two.
That insurance run is more important than ever now after the Scrappers managed to cut that lead down to only one. And we're getting close to the last couple innings here.
Ellisalt set at the belt to 1-2. Skips away there from Cooper Ford. Count even 2-2 on Dante Stewart, and Garrick Anglin now 90 feet closer.
Turning up the heat a little bit on Ellisalt now that that runner is only 90 feet away. It's more important than ever to not only record the out, but definitely not give up a hit here and increase that lead.
Black Bears would certainly love to get that run back. 2-2 from Ellisalt. Stewart spoiling it. Keeps the at-bat alive. Still two balls and two strikes.
Another familiar sight, seeing the at least the shortstop to the closer to the outfield than their usual spots there, expecting Dante Stewart to give him a good hit here.
And Now time called by Dante Stewart as he steps out of the box. Two two from Ellis Alt, pitch high, ball three. So full count now to Stewart. As a matter of fact, it's Tyler Johnson who was loosening in the Black Bears bullpen, set to enter the game in the top half of the eighth. Payoff pitch to Stewart, chop foul towards the Scrappers dugout. Keeps the at bat going once again.
Just as you said that, it seems to be Alan Carter from the Scrappers side warming up in the bullpen.
A little surprised by that, as Ellis Alt has done quite well to this point. Payoff pitch to Stewart, up and in, ball four, another fastball there from Ellis Alt that doesn't catch the zone. It puts runners at the corners for Cam Gurney.
Kind of lost him there midway through that at-bat, in my opinion, just struggled to find the zone there, and again, that last pitch just got away from him, tried to be more reserved with that fastball, but just too high, and ultimately walked Stewart.
So now Cam Gurney with the chance to drive in that insurance run. First pitch fastball from Ellis Alt, missing down and away for ball one.
Walks just keep piling on to us here as we get closer to the end of this game.
One out to Gurney. Fastball again, missing inside. Two balls and no strikes. Ford trying to frame it to the best of his ability, but just a bit too far inside there for him to do really much of anything about it. From his battery mate. 2-0 to Gurney. Fastball up and away. Now three balls and no strikes.
Definitely looking like we're going to load the bases here again with the possible fourth time of this game by my count.
Ellis Alt set, working on the right side of the rubber. 3-0 to Gurney, swinging away, and a little flare out to left field, but playable for Bucko, who makes the grab for the final out. So the Black Bears get runners at the corners here in the seventh. Neither of them coming around to score as we're through seven innings of play. West Virginia 4, Mahoning Valley 3, right here on the Black Bears Radio Network.
Set, go!
top of the eighth here at the Mon. Tyler Johnson taking the rubber here for the inning after Chase Lorg goes an inning. Can see it's just the one run on the one hit. Strikes out a pair. And now Johnson responsible for keeping this a one-run ball game as he will face Matt Archer, followed by Reed Chumley's spot in the order. Of course, Chumley in the on-deck circle. Moved from first to third. First pitch from Johnson, up and in, and that sends Archer spiraling out of the batter's box. Ball and no strikes.
What a welcome had Archer there, almost at chest level, almost catching him there with the ball, but fortunately Matt Archer dodges that one.
And now the 1-0 pitch, grounded to short. Brothers up with it, fire over to Anglin at first, and Archer retired on two pitches.
Much familiar sight there from what we've seen a lot from this pitching staff, producing another ground out, and Blaze Brothers has been busy over there, fielding it cleanly, firing it over to Anglin for the first out.
So now Reed Chumley will come to the plate. Chumley so far tonight, 2 for 3, a home run and a single. First pitch to him from Johnson, fouled back and out of play. No balls and a strike.
Got to be very careful here if you're Tyler Johnson. That deficit has been cut down to just one here, and we saw the power that Chumley does have in that bat.
A one fastball catching the outer half of the zone. No balls and two strikes. Johnson set at the belt. Kicks and deals on 0-2. Off speed, grounded to short. Brothers again firing over to first. Anglin face planting towards the turf, able to keep the toe on the bag. Two gone here in the eighth.
Definitely the defensive pair that has been very prominent tonight. Blaze Brothers to Garrick Anglin. This time making it a little bit tougher on Anglin there with the throw, carrying Anglin to his right a little bit, but Anglin solid over there. Gets the second out here for the Black Bears.
So now with two outs, Jalen Jones will stand in. Jones so far tonight 0 for 2 and a walk. That walk occurring all the way back in the first inning. First pitch swinging is Jones popping it up on the right side. It'll carry well into the berm as after it for a long strike one.
Very efficient outing here so far for Johnson, and you think just from these early signs that he could be getting the last three outs if manager Jed Jericho does see fit.
Now Jalen Jones stepping out of the box to call time. Johnson working from the right side of the rubber. 0-1 to Jones and fouling it straight back. Jones quickly behind, no balls and two strikes.
One of the Scarpers' more experienced batters, the senior at Eastern Kentucky University. Definitely been around the college scene, but faces a big hole here, 0-2 with two outs.
0-2 from Johnson. Off speed, missing down and away. Count a ball and two strikes now. Johnson trying to get the chase. Certainly not a bad idea there, but pitched too far outside for Jalen Jones' liking. Jones again calling time being granted by Dave Bender. Johnson working exclusively from the stretch. 1-2 to Jones. Again, the off-speed missing, down and away, even 2-2.
Exactly. exact location there. Back-to-back pitches. Jones does well not to chase. Definitely protecting out there. Making Tyler Johnson work for this final out.
Now Johnson going to step off the rubber. Allow himself to go through the signs again with his battery mate, Hunter May. Long pause here from Johnson. 2-2. Freezing Jalen Jones, and he is in disbelief and has some quick words with Dave Bender as we are through 7.5 innings of play here at the Mon. Black Bears 4, Scrappers 3, bottom of the 8th coming up next.
When it comes to social media, the Black Bears are everywhere. Be sure to like the West Virginia Black Bears on Facebook. Give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Simply search at West Virginia Black Bears.
Now in 1-2, coming to the plate for the Black Bears, bottom of the 8th, Ben Greer, Van Gupton Jr., and Sam Crail, as Chase Smith gets loose in the Black Bears bullpen. He's set for the 9th inning, as things look now. Alan Carter, the new pitcher for Mahoning Valley, first pitch fastball to Greer, missing down and away, ball one. Alan Carter, 6'3", 200 pounds, out of Suwanee, Georgia, product of Lee University. One out to Greer, another fastball missing outside. Again, two balls and no strikes. Pitch home from Carter. Fastball down and in. Three balls and no strikes on Ben Greer.
Shumley there expecting a hard hit ball to them. Shumley the closest of all the infielders to Greer. Everybody else setting up in the outfield.
3-0. Greer grounds one past the shortstop, Jalen Jones, for a leadoff single. Good piece of hitting there for Ben Greer, his first hit of the night.
Nothing Jones could do about that one. As far back as he was in the outfield, that ball was hit way too hard and way too close to second base to do anything with that. One batter faced and one hit given up already. Greer earns his first hit tonight.
So now Van Gupton Jr. will come to the plate. Gupton with a runner on. First pitch swinging. Change up there from Carter. Waved at and missed. Gupton, three walks tonight. Only at bat he's recorded, he was struck out looking.
Very uncharacteristic like swing there. Swinging at that pitch almost in the dirt there for strike one.
Now Van Gupton Jr. waving and missing at the 0-1 fastball quickly behind 0-2.
Virtually the exact same pitch there. Same location gets Gupton again. 0-2 now.
Greer takes off, pitch down and in, throw down from Ford. Not in time as Greer's in with a stolen base. Gupton now a ball and two strikes.
Great jump by Greer, and that pitch was inside almost at the feet of Gupton, and Ford had to do everything he could to bring it across his body to throw it in. It was never going to be on time.
Carter now staring in, awaiting the signs from Ford and a potential cross-up. So Ford's going to head out to the mound.
Like you said, Drew, just a simple clearing up of the signs. You don't want to give up a fifth run here and make this game almost not completely out of reach, but even further out of reach if you're down two heading into the ninth.
1-2 to Gupton in the dirt. In the legs of Ford, sends the ball down the third base line, and Jimmy Galuski going to wave home Ben Greer, so it'll go down as a stolen base and then an E2, and West Virginia tacks on a big insurance run, 5-3 Black Bears.
Of course, it happened after I said it, but nothing to do with Carter there, just Ford. I was surprised Greer tested him, but Ford threw it in too hard, trying to assure the out there, and bounced it over the glove of Chumley, it seemed. Yeah, Chumley wasn't able to field it cleanly over him and over his shoulder, and Greer scores easily for the fifth run of the Black Bears.
2-2 pitch there to Van Gupton Jr. skipped into the glove of Ford, so now a full count to Van Gupton Jr. And things going from bad to worse for the Scrappers.
Been the self-inflicted mistakes that have cost the Scrappers thus far.
Payoff pitch to Van Gupton, waving and missing there at a fastball down at the knees. Gupton retired in the form of a punch out for the second time tonight. Brings up Sam Crail.
You could see it from the expression on his face there as he heads back to the dugout. Right, regretting his decision to swing
Sam
there. But
Crail.
Again, you got the run across, but you would have liked to get on base there. Possibly earned his fourth walk, but is retired on strikes.
Sam Crail, home run in a walk tonight, a pair of flyouts. First pitch just a bit outside from Alan Carter. Doesn't even get close to the batter's box. The right-handed batter's box, that is. Crail's in the left.
Little rattle from all the commotion that happened to score that fifth run, but
yeah. 1-0 pitch in there off speed from Carter, taken by Crail for strike one. Chase Smith continues to loosen in the Black Bears bullpen. Carter set on the right side of the rubber, the 1-1. Fastball just below the knees, and even if Ford wanted to try and frame it, he couldn't because the ball popped out of his mitt.
Having trouble keeping that ball in his mitt for it, as a lot of pass balls by him and a lot of just dropped balls, dropped possible strikes out of his glove.
2-1 from Carter. Fastball down and away. Now 3-1 on Crail. Carter working exclusively from the stretch. The 3-1. Fastball outside. 5-pitch walk to Sam Crail. And now Blaze Brothers steps to the plate.
In his fifth appearance, earns his second walk. Crail, again, one of the toughest outs of this Black Bears lineup, and rightfully so, earns himself another walk with Blaze Brothers now up to bat.
Blaze Brothers.
Blaze Brothers. Potentially his last at bat as a Black Bear as Carter throws over to first, keeping tabs on Crail. Of course, I should say more than likely Brothers' final at-bat as a Black Bear. Unless, of course, something crazy happens where the top of the order comes up once again. Brothers waving and missing at a first pitch changeup there from Carter.
Good pitch there by Carter. Taking off the pitch that he's shown to Crail and gets Blaze Brothers trying to golf swing at that one in the dirt.
Carter awaiting the sign from Ford. 0-1, waving a miss there, blowing the fastball by Brothers, who's quickly behind, no balls and two strikes.
Couldn't locate that fastball before, but now definitely located that one, and Brothers got all of it and got nothing, no contact on it, and finds himself 0-2 now.
Pitch home to Brothers. That gets away from Cooper Ford, and it will allow Sam Crail to advance to second base. A ball and two strikes to Brothers, and have to wait and see whether or not that one goes down as a wild pitch. I would think so, as it was kind of skipped in there towards Cooper Ford.
Again, another drop ball by Ford, and I've heard you say that phrase a lot. The ball gets away by Ford a lot tonight, and again, it's these fielding mistakes a lot of the times that have cost them one or two runs tonight for the Scrappers.
Now, time called by Brothers. It is, in fact, a wild pitch by Alan Carter. Carter now set at the belt. 1-2 to Brothers. Down to a knee. Swing and a miss. Fastball there from Carter records the second out of the inning.
Not the way you would have liked to possibly had, or more than likely had, your last at-bat with the Black Bears, but to Carter's credit, it was a good pitch this evening. Blaze Brothers there to go fishing for that one and record the second out.
So now Hunter May will come to the plate.
Quick dust up, tossed off the home plate there by Dave Bender.
A little bit surprised that he's even dusting the plate off. I mean, what is there, a few turf pellets? First pitch to May, blocked by Ford.
May comes into this one 1-for-4, single back in the second. Has two strikeouts though, doesn't want to get that third one here.
1-0 pitch, down and away, two balls and no strikes now to Hunter May. May so far tonight 1-for-4. His single, the lone base hit, back in the third. Two-o pitch, change up in there for strike one on the outer half of the zone. Carter trying to get himself back into the count. Carter. Carter set right side of the rubber. The 2-1, waving a miss there at a big fastball. May couldn't get anything on it.
Definitely wanted all of that one, but that fastball way too fast there for Hunter May to make any contact off his off the barrel of the bat. Even now, all at twos.
Two balls, two strikes, two outs here, bottom of the eighth. Black Bears ahead by two. Hunter May at the plate. Large gap on the right side of the infield with Zach Storbakken holding on the runner, Crail. Pitch there blocked by Ford. Bounces in front of him. Throw down to third. Not in time. So another wild pitch there from Alan Carter allows Crail to advance and a full count to Hunter May.
And again, similar to the pitch that got away from him on the Greer run, it's Chumley who this time fields it great off the one bounce there and prevents what would have been an assured sixth run there.
Just about to say, after seeing it on the replay, almost skipped over the glove of Chumley again. Payoff pitch to May, check swing, but holds up in time and draws a two-out walk to bring up Merrick Chaloup.
I don't think we mentioned it enough how disciplined and patient these Black Bears have been, not just in this game, but all season, earning a lot of walks here and extending these innings just by possibly one more batter, but that's huge there for a pitcher out there that just wants nothing more to head back to the dugout and get this over with.
Merrick Chaloup coming to the plate. The runners at the corners, first pitch swinging, a big fastball comes up empty. Chaloup, 1-for-4 tonight, also singling in the third inning. Just a few minutes over the three-hour mark here in this one. Pitch home, Chaloup fouling it straight back. Quickly behind, no balls and two strikes.
Working down through every part of the zone there, usually starts to, Carter starts to batter himself with a high fastball, then works his way at some part during the middle, and if the trend continues, this pitch should be somewhere low in the zone or at the shin level.
0-2 to Chaloup, getting a piece of it on the off speed, fouling it straight back once again, staying alive for the time being.
Would imagine that if that runner were to score from third, that would all but do it here for this game, the closeout game of this series.
Carter set at the belt, kicks and deals on 0-2, runs up and in. Chaloup bending backwards to avoid getting hit. Now a ball and two strikes. Crail at third. May at first. May being held on. Crail is not. 1-2 to Chaloup. Hard grounder through the left side of the infield. A base hit. That'll allow Sam Crail to come in easily. Hunter May advancing to second. 6-3 Black Bears here in the eighth.
Chumley has been very busy in this inning and gets another hard hit ball to him and can make the play there as that one bounced. It seemed under his glove, but not entirely sure. But regardless of that, an RBI single for Chaloup, and now this Black Bears lead increases to double, and they lead now 6-3.
So Garrick Englund will get another shot to come to the plate here. First pitch swing, late to the fastball there, and carries out a play over the first base side of the concourse. Englund tonight, 1-for-3 and a walk.
Getting words of encouragement from a lot of the Black Bears fans here.
0-1 from Carter. Fastball right down the middle, taken for strike two.
Definitely trying to see a lot of success here from most of these players that will most likely not be on the team after the draft.
0-2 to Englund. Fly ball out to right field, but right at Xavier Carter for the final out as we're through eight innings of play here at the Mon, but not before the Black Bears tack on two more. West Virginia 6, Mahoning Valley 3. Final three outs of the first half of the MLB Draft League season coming up next with Chase Smith taking the hill for the Black Bears right here on the Black Bears Radio Network. Top of the ninth coming up, final three outs potentially here for your West Virginia Black Bears in the first half of the MLB Draft League season. Chase Smith on the hill, standing in to face Xavier Carter, Cooper Ford, and Brandon Rogers.
Haven't seen Chase Smith since that last game of the series against Trent here. He went two in the third innings, allowing four hits, four strikeouts.
Smith, a 5.28 ERA as a member of the Black Bears. First pitch here to Carter. Fastball outside for ball one. Chase Smith, not necessarily the hardest thrower, but with his sidearm delivery, gets a lot of ground ball outs. Down and away to Carter there. Two balls and no strikes.
Always doesn't hurt that your offense was able to tack on a couple more runs before you make your possible last outing here.
2-0 fastball, down and away, three balls and no strikes. Xavier Carter, 0-for-3 entering this at bat. Had not seen a three-ball count prior to Chase Smith just delivering that fastball. Working from the left side of the rubber, 3-0 taken for strike one, another fastball from Smith.
Of course, very familiar to this area. Smith playing his last year of college here at the Mon at WVU.
3-1 pitch there from Smith, missing down and in on Xavier Carter. He draws a five-pitch leadoff walk to bring up Cooper Ford.
Never really established any presence in the zone there. Seems to just kind of be feeling it out thus far, Chase Smith, seeing what works, what doesn't, and I guess is comfortable with giving up that walk as he gets more comfortable, more of a feel for this game.
First pitch to Ford. Fastball below the knees, ball one. Ford 1-for-3, his single in the second. Smith set at the belt, the 1-0, wave and a miss there. Another fastball from the Black Bears right-hander, even a ball and a strike.
That's exactly what you want to see from Smith. Getting these scrappers to bite has not been easy, not just in this game, but the entirety of the series. It's going to take a good effort here to retire them for the final three outs.
1-1 shot foul towards the Black Bears dugout. So a ball and two strikes now on Ford. Scores from around the draft league here on the final day of play in the first half. Trenton ahead of Frederick in the top of the seventh, 11-1. 1-2 from Smith. Grounded hard up the middle for a base hit. Back-to-back base runners allowed by Chase Smith. Now runners at first and second here for Brandon Rogers.
I assumed he would attack that low part of the zone, and he does, but just left it a little bit too high there. No chance at a double play, and you got two runners on already. And again, similar to the first two games, the closers, I guess you could say, are kind of struggling with the first couple scrappers batters they face.
So Buck Anderson going to pinch hit for Brandon Rogers, squaring to bunt. Drops it down beautifully, third baseline. Tough play for Greer. Fires over to first and beats him by half a step. A tremendous defensive play there for Ben Greer.
It almost seemed too perfect to be true there, but Greer got a good jump on it. Did have that little advantage as he stepped up in front of the bag and fires it over to Anglin. And Anglin has not disappointed the entire evening. Gets the one out, but both runners are now in scoring position.
So Dominic Bucco will come to the plate with runners at second and third. It's Carter who's at third. Ford's at second. Black Bears infield is back. Would concede a run on the infield ground ball, and rightfully so, up by three. First pitch there from Smith. Change up, catching the inner half of the zone for strike one, and May out to the mound, possibly a cross-up between the two there. Defensively, the Black Bears are playing Dominic Bucco straight up, as they have done for much of the series. 0-1 from Smith. Fastball that May tried to frame on the outer half of the zone, but not to Dave Bender's liking.
Seems a little bit tough for Chase against lefties, that going across that zone seems still a little bit cautious to do so.
Grounder to short on 1-1. Brothers up with it, firing over to first. Nice stretch there from Anglin for the second out, as both Brothers and Greer wanted the ball in between there, and Brothers ultimately fielding it, Greer having to quickly get out of his way. The run does come across, though, so Scrappers again cutting the deficit down to two.
Very unorthodox move there by Greer to just dive across Brothers to get out of the way of that throw, and good decision there as Brothers guns it over to Anglin, and we're down to the last out here at the Mon.
So Ford still at second. Alex Araujo's getting his second at bat. First pitch here from Smith. Strike one on the outer half of the plate. The curveball dropping in there nicely.
Much more comfortable batter here against righties. I think Chase finds it much better for him to throw it across the zone and take it away from those batters.
0-1 from Smith. Catch the outer half of the zone. Strike two. Scrappers down to their final strike. Black Bears crowd wants a sweep. They're getting into it now. Making a lot of noise here. The 0-2 from Smith. And a changeup missing. Down and away. Ball and two strikes.
Got the zone the last few times. Wanted to see if Araujo would chase it. Notice how much pressure there is on him, especially with the runner at second.
Araujo, the tying run, representing it at least, the 1-2. He spoils it late swing there on the fastball, ricocheting off of the fencing of the Black Bears dugout. Still a 1-2 count. Smith set at the belt, right side of the rubber. 1-2. Choppers on deck circle. It'll keep the count right where it is. Rather, Smith working from the left side, as he has the entirety of this appearance and his duration as a Black Bear.
Still a favorable count for Smith. I'd assume this pitch could be out of the zone.
1-2 to Araúz. Popped up, carrying towards the berm. Long at bat here is Araúz, recognizes what's at stake, not wanting to go down without a fight.
Scrappers have definitely been a thorn to put away here in all three games. Nothing different here tonight, but just one strike will do it. One more out, and this game will be concluded.
Smith getting the sign from May. Quick look down to second. The 1-2. Just missing the zone there with the fastball down and away. 2-2. And that draws a loud groan.
Got everybody here on the edge of their seats.
Smith looking for one more strike. 2-2. Swung on and missed into the glove of Hunter May. And that's the ball game as Araúz has some words with Hunter May. The Black Bears complete the sweep of the Mahoning Valley Scrappers. Finish off the first half of the Draft League season with a win, ending the campaign with a record of 23-15. First sweep of Mahoning Valley here in the first half of the MLB Draft League season. It was a solid performance all around from the Black Bears from start to finish. And again, the comeback Bears do it again.
And again, another close game from the Scrappers and the Black Bears, but that's been the theme throughout not just this series, I would say, but really the Black Bears have had to earn everything they get, and it's been down to the pitching once again. Chase Smith found, but he worked through it much like the last two games have been, and allowed strikeout number 3 for the third out, I should say, actually, and again retires the side, and those two runs there prove pivotal for the Black Bears, because if not, this game probably would have been tied. We could be heading to extras, but again, those mistakes came back to bite the Scrappers.
Absolutely. As we get set to wrap this one up here for you, Druvon Sayo alongside Manny Maradiegue. You mentioned the Scrappers. They got out to an early lead in the top half of the first. Reed Chumley fly ball to right center field, scoring himself and Alex Ulloa. Things were quiet offensively for both sides until the bottom of the third, when a trio of walks reached against Duncan Davitt. Sam Crail with a line drive missile down the right field line for the third Grand Slam ever here at Mon County Ballpark. All three as a member of the MLB Draft League. Made it 4-2 West Virginia. Again, a bunch of zeros through the middle third of the ball game. Mahoning Valley tacking on a run in the top of the seventh when Alex Araúz homered to right center field. That got the Scrappers back within a run. In the bottom of the eighth, a pass ball from Cooper Ford allowed Ben Greer to advance to third. Ford then tried to throw Greer out at third. The ball skipped in the turf, got over the glove of Reed Chumley, allowing Greer to come home and score, making it 5-3 Black Bears. Merrick Schloop singling next time up to left field, scoring Sam Crail, making it 6-3 West Virginia. And then in the top of the ninth, Dominic Bucco grounding out to Blaze Brothers, scoring Xavier Carter as Bucco tacks on the final RBI here in the first half of the season for the Mahoning Valley Scrappers, as the Black Bears take this one by a score of 6-4. Pitching wise for the Black Bears, Thomas Gross getting the win, going 6 innings, conceding 2 runs, both earned on 4 hits. 6 strikeouts and 2 walks. 1 run conceded by Chase Lorig in the 7th when he gave up the hurless 8th for Tyler Johnson. And then Chase Smith, 1 run ball in the 9th there, conceding the 1 run on the ground out to Blaze Brothers. As the Black Bears again limit the walks, not as much as they did last night. Of course, they couldn't get any better than 0 other than replicating it. Only conceding 3 though. 10 strikeouts in the process, but for Mahoning Valley, it was the walks that really hurt them as they walked 13 and struck out 11. Certainly bad things to come when you concede more walks than you do strikeout batters, as Duncan Davitt was responsible for 5 of those 13. Jacob Harsany responsible for 3 of them. Sean Goodwin responsible for 3, and then Alan Carter responsible 4-2. The Black Bears, 6 runs on 8 hits, no errors. Mahoning Valley, 4 runs on 6 hits, 2 errors. Manny, your final thoughts on tonight and the first half of the Draft League season as a whole?
I think, well, to answer the first part, I think from this game, and similar to the first one, it was just a game of missed opportunities, and interestingly enough, it's those substitutions that kind of, or would have made the difference if the defensive side of the Scrappers lineup kind of held up, because we saw those defensive errors that scored Greer,